Because if I look, Chairman, if I come and talk shit about her, y'all gonna have a problem.
Welcome to the Jasmine Crockett Senate Campaign Show. Let the mind games begin.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you gotta be kidding.
Got two words for every racist bigot living Jasmine Crockett.
Crockett, a St. Louis-born private school princess who grew up in the cushy suburbs.
No one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Who embarrassingly cosplays as the hood's angry auntie the minute she smells a camera.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Her veteran socialist squad mentality immediately ostracizing most Texas voters.
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory.
It's almost like a slave mentality that they have. Now, about the time that that was published last year, around a million Latino voters in Texas were voting for Trump. Do they all have slave mentality?
No, and that's not what that said at all.
A strategy of blind delusion in a state where President Trump received 56% of the vote in the last election.
Y'all know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now.
It's another day and another disaster by the Democrats. The reality is they have no vision, no policy. They have nothing to sell but hate.
Her routine is that she wants to bring a little bit of what I might quaintly call the ghetto catfight into these spaces. I get it, you know, bring a blaxploitation movie or something into Congress. Great. Work it. But you do not make fun of the fact that somebody lives their life in a wheelchair. That doesn't work.
The campaign itself, the monstrosity has been on full display for years, where it is now finally crashing out before your very eyes.
Basically, the Republicans have become synonymous for Russians at this point.
When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black.
I was clear that it was a Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. There has been no oppression for the white man in this country. You tell me which white men were dragged out of their homes.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
We have no perfect systems. We have always had some level of fraud in anything that we have because there's no such thing as perfection walking on this earth.
Unfortunately for her, people aren't buying what she is vigorously selling.
I'm gonna show these white folks I ain't scared of them.
How is it possible that my 10-year-old daughter can hear Jasmine Crockett for the first time, listen to two clips, and the first thing she said to me was, Dad, her voice changed.
She is such an insult to all educated black women in America. She perpetuates the stereotype of a ghetto black hood woman. Something she is not.
One of the most famous or infamous, depends on how you see it, women in society today is Jasmine Crockett, elected to office. And look at how she talks. Look at what she's brought. Just hood language for a lady.
So I'm going to say what the American people been wanting to say for a very long time. This party called the Democratic Liberal Party, y'all can kiss the American ass. The whole entire American ass. We're done with you clowns.
Texas doesn't think like a trust fund revolutionary poser. And the only thing more embarrassing than Crockett's circus is the media and the Democrats pretending she's anything other than the fraud she's always been. Then again, this is all the doomed Democrats have going.
I challenge somebody to go and find a clip of a Democrat invoking violence.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching.
We are not only gonna punch you back, but we are gonna knock you out.
I am here to tell you not only are we gonna punch back, but we about to beat you down.
Just let me tell you that we know how to use a chair, whether we pulling it up or we doing something else with it.
Congressman
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Defense.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
To the American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It is December 12th, 2025, as we end out the year here at the InfoWars Central Texas Command Center. It seems like we'll be here for the rest of the year. Who knows how long in 2026. Got the stacks stacked. I've got guests lined up. Got everything organized into subjects. We've got corruption. The Kirk assassination, a little bit of health information, of course. And then I had to split up migrants and Somalis because they're the same, but they're also different. And especially now that Trump's eye has gone to Minnesota and what's going on in there, I think we've discovered a bit of a psyop that I'm going to get to in the second hour. Because this thing just looks too good to be true. And it's a young 20-year-old man who gets roughed up by some ICE agents. And then he's got the press conference ready and the press is there and there's selective clips from his encounter. And it just seems too perfect. So we're going to get to that. But I want to start off. This is going to be clip 21. And, as we go through life, you kind of wake up, you know, you have this awakening. So if you're watching this, you've had an awakening, you know, maybe a month ago, maybe a week ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, you've had an awakening. And some people see it as a blessing. Some people see it as a curse. And this is a young man who sees it as a curse. So I kind of want to start with that. And then by the end of the show, I'm going to play another clip of a guy who's also having an awakening. Even though he doesn't want to admit it. And that is in terms of all the suppressed energy systems that we have out there that are being suppressed. But it's an interesting article. And that's from like 2017. But we're going to have, and in between is going to be all the other corruption and stuff like, you know, breaking news. We have executive director of Black Lives Matter charged with wire fraud and money laundering. This is from OKC, Black Lives Matter OKC. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into another stabbing on a train in Charlotte. So I don't know what's going on in Charlotte, North Carolina, but they are spending money. We're going to have a guest, Ken Silva, on that coming up in the bottom of the hour. And I don't know what's going on, but they're spending money on improving the image of the trains as people are getting stabbed on these trains. So it seems to be a place where criminals hang out and they go after people. But let's play this clip first. This is clip 21, 48 seconds long. And this is just the young man, coming into, you know, I would say he's a Zoomer, probably an older Zoomer, which makes him young. Unlike the millennial crew out here, we have, I'm a bit older than them, so I've seen a little more, played with a little more analog than they have, but here's that first clip, and then we'll come back and discuss it. Here we go.
I swear to you, awareness is a curse. Once you become conscious about things, you can't enjoy the simple parts of life anymore. You go to sit down and watch a movie with some friends, and within minutes, you're analyzing the manipulation tactics, the propaganda. You know, you go to a party, and instead of enjoying the moment, you're analyzing all of the social performances, the masks, like the facades that people are putting on. You just can't enjoy things anymore because you see right through them. Once you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. Your brain will just hyperanalyze every situation, which inevitably leads to more suffering. Like, I can't have a conversation with you because I just see how there's a desperate need for validation, and I don't want to entertain that, you know? And it's not that, like, I'm superior. It's just I can no longer relate. I can't act like this absurdity is normal anymore.
Reminds me of the movie Matrix, or the guy that kind of turns them all in. At one point, I forget his name, and he's the bald guy, and he's got the mustache, and he just wants to go back and eat the steak. He wants to eat the steak. And he's just like, you know, just put me back in. I've seen too much. I know too much. Just put me back in. And that can happen. There's a lot. You know, there's a reason they create a system to keep you distracted. It's because if too many people woke up, one, you'd have, you know, mass hysteria. That's why it's happening in bits and pieces, and people are finally catching up to InfoWars. And so this is going to kind of be the theme as we run through, because I'm going to be showing you all kinds of stuff. And I want to go back to a clip. This is from 2009. This is Christopher Hitchens talking about how eventually they're going to have these hate speech laws. And that's what we see now. You know, 15 years later in the UK, we have now, you know, hate speech posts, liking posts, you could get arrested. So this is clip 12, Christopher Hitchens predicting hate speech laws back in 2009. Here it is.
Thank you. This is very urgent business, ladies and gentlemen. I beseech you. Resist it while you still can, and before the right to complain is taken away from you, which will be the next thing, you will be told you can't complain.
That's good now.
Because you're Islamophobic. The term is already being introduced into the culture, as if it was an accusation of race hatred, for example, or bigotry, whereas it's only the objection to the preachings of a very extreme and absolutist religion. Watch out for these symptoms. They are not just symptoms of surrender. Very often ecumenically offered to you by men of God in other robes, Christian and Jewish and smarmy ecumenical. These are the ones who hold open the gates for the barbarians. The barbarians never take a city till someone holds the gates open for them. And it's your own preachers who will do it for you and your own multicultural authorities who will do it for you. Resist it while you can. And if you wonder what will happen if you don't, look and see how a cricket team in Middlesex in England had to change its name by force last week because it was called and had been for years the Middlesex Crusaders. Look and see how stories about little pigs can't be taught to children in the schools anymore. Lest offense be taken by the religion of peace. Resist it while you can.
Yeah, so we saw that here in the United States. What are the commanders used to be called the Redskins, and they used to have a profile of an Indian. It was a well-known Indian. And, in fact, the tribes are now talking to the NFL saying, hey, we like the Redskin logo. It was a source of pride for us. But, you know, the do-gooder liberals are like, oh, this makes them feel bad. That was Christopher Hitchens back in 09 saying, hey, this is about to happen. Get ready. And now we're seeing people, you know, arrested for texting somebody. Hey, the guy that raped me was a faggot. Oh no, you can't text that to your friend in a private text message. We're going to come arrest you. And all the stuff I'm saying, you could pull up. You could pull up. Now, this is a clip that was posted yesterday by the I Am British Reel. And it got a million views. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. It happened actually a year ago. And this is in Doncaster, England. This is a hotel where they were housing migrants. And the people finally got fed up with what was going on. And they decided to basically kick the migrants out. So this is a short clip, and I'll kind of narrate it as it's going for those who are listening. But basically there's police. You guys can start rolling it and just bring the sound in. There's police on the side, and people are attacking the police who are protecting the migrants, and they want these people out. And, you can just see it. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This was not on the news anywhere. And I'm looking at it. And then I realized, oh, it happened a year ago. And there's a BBC article on it. But this is what happens when people get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or as Gerald Celente says it, when they've lost everything, then they lose it. And in August 2024, violent scenes unfolded as fires were set outside a hotel housing 200 asylum seekers and the mob chanting "burn it down." Now, were they doing this because they were racist? Well, that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe this is just a racist mob, and not that they were being victims of crime from these, 200 migrants, or they were looking at the money that was being spent to house these migrants. And now we got chaos in the EU as countries will be fined £17,500, or that's euros. No, that's pounds per penalty. So it's about 20,000 euros per person who they refuse to rehome. That's the EU. And this, they talked about this a couple years ago, and now they're doing it. So if you don't house these people who show up, who are being led by the nose from the NGOs up to these spots in Europe, given boats, £20,000 per person is what they're going to start charging. So it's going to take countries standing up. And this might be another catalyst, along with Elon Musk, who's saying we got to get rid of the EU. Maybe the EU has outlived its usefulness. It was a dream of Hitler. People don't like to admit that. They like to revisionize their way around it. But Hitler wanted a European Union. But he wanted them all speaking German. And the nobles in Brussels couldn't have that. So let's go to the next clip. This is we're going to stay in England. This is 14. We could just roll this. This is a citizen journalist capturing just a plane full of men from Afghanistan coming in. And we just had an Afghanistan migrant who actually worked with the CIA. Had him come in, and he decided to drive across country to shoot a couple National Guards people in the head. Isn't that nice? But here they are. You can see the families and the children and the women. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's just men. Just men of fighting age. No big deal. No big deal. Don't worry about it. There they are. You're just coming off the plane in droves. And if you don't house these people, it's a $20,000 fine. If you don't take your tax dollars and spend it on these people and give them food and shelter and a phone and all the things they need, you get fined. And this is just a prelude out of Somalia, Little Mogadishu, where they're arresting one of these guys who says, "Delete me from the signal chats." And this is going to be clip 15, yes. Clip 15, yes. ICE Yeah, delete me from the chats. This is interesting. So if this guy's on your chats, he's getting deleted. Here it is. It's very short.
Last name.
Max and Bear on signal. Have them delete me from all the chats. Max and Bear on signal. Delete me from the chats.
So these guys are obviously planning something. If he wants his chats deleted, if Smashing Bear wants all of his chats deleted in Signal, then obviously they're planning something. But, you know, these aren't just spontaneous protests where they're running around. In fact, there was a here in Austin on the radio, the FM radio station, I think it was 93.7. They were actually telling people where the ICE caravans were. They're like, oh, they're on 183 South going to these neighborhoods. So like the mainstream media radio stations are in on the game too. Because, oh, how are you grabbing these people and sending them home? Well, everyone was offered a chance to go home, free plane ticket and $1,000. And about a million people took that offer. And those that didn't are now turning, they want to turn into migrant martyrs. And they want to be, you know, seen in the streets screaming and crying instead of just going home and doing the process right. People are like, how could we do this? How could we do this? Well, listen, there's too many here. Some of them haven't assimilated, right? Some of them have. And some of them here have families. Some of them have decided not to follow the law and show up for their immigration hearings. Some of them self-deport. They tried to get Kristi Noem yesterday in a hearing, and they're talking about some guy who self-deported to Korea because he had drug charges, and he just decided to self-deport. And he was, you know, I think he came here when he was 5 or 7 or something like that, and he served in the military, and God bless the man. Wish him a great life. But he had some issues, and he wasn't exactly legal because he wasn't born here, and he wasn't and he had not gone through the process of becoming an American citizen. But let's just look at this is a 3-minute clip about the white guilt that's going on. This is from Nick Shirley, and he encounters a white guy who says white people deserve to be robbed, and then Nick says, okay, well, and he's got some black guys with him. He says, okay, I guess this guy wants to be robbed because he says white people deserve to be robbed. So here it is. Here's the clip.
Hey, who is this guy? Come with me. Here we go. Look, now he's running. There he is. He's running away. What's going on? You got a problem with us live streaming or what?
I mean, this ain't where you're from.
Is there a problem with me being here?
You're a white person.
What was that all about?
Let's pause real quick. This ain't where you're from. You see? Because he's not from that city or that state, Nick Shirley. Why is he there commenting on stuff? But yet it's okay for migrants to show up from the other side of the world and go, give us better food, give us better housing. You see the disconnect there? Like it's okay for the migrants to do that because they're our guests, but OMG, anyone else? Oh, if you're from a different state, oh, you don't have any say. Let's continue. It gets better.
You don't pay the stolen land tax?
You're white as well.
Stolen land tax.
And you're whiter than him.
Ability.
You're white as well. I don't understand where you're coming from.
Because you got to take accountability for it.
Accountability for what?
Systemic problems. Because this right here, you're occupying indigenous land here. You're occupying space that isn't here.
Wait, but I can say the exact same thing to you.
You can. And you should.
And you're occupying this space.
And we should. We should be calling out people. Honestly, he and I deserve to be robbed.
Who's we? Humans. You say we deserve to be robbed.
Yeah.
Okay, take his iPhone. Take it.
Give me it.
Karma's about to happen.
You want to help my mutual aid friends?
Give it.
You want to? Okay.
Give it.
Do you want to see
my iPhone? Take his iPhone.
You just said you didn't want it.
Dude, give
it. I use this to help people.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You want to go to hell?
I use this to doom scroll every day.
You said you deserve to be robbed, though.
I help so many people that need this. Because that's the way that I connect with people.
No.
They need this.
I do as much as I can.
But you just said you deserve your ride.
It seems like you need this.
He needs a phone. He needs a phone. Help him out. He needs a phone.
I need a $30 phone. You want this phone? Come get it.
He said he deserved your ride.
Do you know what Kofi is?
Come get it.
We can do that.
Look,
we can do that.
Look, now they'll take the phone.
We can do Kofi.
We can do Kofi.
Pull up the definition of Kofi.
No, you said you deserve to be robbed.
I think it's a deal where you make when you're getting robbed.
And you'll be hurting people.
Who?
You'll be hurting my friend Corey.
How?
My friend Corey needs resources.
Okay. How are you helping your friend Corey so far if she doesn't have those resources?
Because I give them to her. As well as several
giving
other
it to her and actually allowing her to
so
have
you
the
said
choices.
You
help
so
this guy said he deserves to be robbed. I don't want him to be robbed. We're not going to let these
I mean, this
robbed.
Is karma
but
hitting you right in the face.
See what happens when he says, I deserve to be robbed. And then he gets robbed.
This is how you test philosophy.
He doesn't want to get robbed. Because nobody wants to get robbed. No one deserves to get robbed.
You should.
This guy's a lunatic.
Huh?
You should be.
Should be what?
You should be upset with people like me.
I am. That's why I'm finna rob you, dumbass.
Why?
Huh?
I mean,
why?
Because
you're on indigenous land, not your land. My land, my people's land. Because you talking about, nigga. I can do whatever the I please on my land. Now give me the phone.
I need it to help people.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I got 10. I got
$10. He's making deals.
I'm gonna want more than $30. Show me you want.
They want 30. He's like, no, you can have 10.
Wait, we still getting the phone. Let me get the phone.
And you see this, people? You see how the cycle works? I said I wouldn't take the phone. My little niggas on the other hand.
I
didn't say nothing about them.
He said he deserves to get robbed.
Yeah,
all right. Let's see. Okay. Anyway, that was interesting. That's karma biting you right in the face right there. His ideas are being tested. And we're only going to play part of this as we go to break, but this is interesting. This is an American trucker bitching about migrants who like to wash their feet in the sink and in the toilet. I'd never heard of this. This boggled my mind. People actually stick their feet in toilets. You guys stick your feet in toilets out there? I mean, I don't do that. Here's the clip. I mean, I am so tired
of walking into a men's room at a truck stop and sitting down in a stall and having somebody beside me. It sounds like they're taking their hand in the actual toilet bowl and just doing this right here. But what they're actually doing, though they do that sometimes, they'll actually flush the toilet, stick their hand in it if they don't have a bottle of water readily available. And they'll do this right here with the water to rinse themselves off, if you know what I mean. But if they have a bottle of water, that's when it gets really nasty and vile. They'll pour the bottle of water out, and as they're doing it, they'll take their hand and do this right here. As they're, you can just imagine
exactly.
What that
I'm
like.
Wondering who's filming and in the bathroom all this interesting stuff. Is this an AI video?
I mean, I guess they're not allowed
who does
to use
this?
Toilet paper.
That looks like a still.
The problem with that is that water splashes everywhere. It hits the
what cleansing surface.
And then it splashes
the
everywhere.
Flying
it goes over the top of the stall. It
sounds like a book
title. Toilet. It goes on the ground. The handle of the toilet. The door itself. It's an actual biohazard. And then those same guys will get out and they'll go to the sink. And instead of washing their hands in the sink, at least. No, they're not doing that. They don't wash their hands in the sink. They stick their feet in the sink. They pull them out of these nasty, gooped up sandals because when they get done washing them, they put their wet feet right back in the sandals.
Ooh.
And they pull them out of those. And the smell, I mean, it has hit me like a ton of bricks.
The smell.
And they'll wash their feet in the sink. No soap or anything.
Poop feet.
Just water. So the smell is horrendous. And then they just
put
leave.
It back in the sandals and then you wash
and,
your feet in the sink.
I mean, I am appalled that we have gotten to a point where this is considered common practice.
I mean, it's literally idiocracy. It's literally drinking water out of the toilet, washing your feet out of the toilet. Maybe they wash their face in the toilet. Reminds me in Italy one time, there's a guy at the fountain. He was literally washing his butt at the drinking fountain where people drink out of. We're going to be back with a guest, Ken Silva, to talk about violence on the trains in Charlotte. Stay tuned. You're watching the American Journal. Thanks for joining me.
My Pillow alone, just My Pillow, not counting me, it cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our elections. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex. Things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. My number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, but you're amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at mypillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said, about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For it, you go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those, and then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. You walk on them and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome. This patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not as low as $29.98. And I'm going to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, just more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, that was a fun-filled first half hour of The American Journal here on Friday. The guys were shocked. I was quoting people and what they were saying. I'm not going to repeat it because, you know, it's a family show. But my guest joining us is going to have more of this insanity. And if you go to the website headlineusa.com, it is Ken Silva. He goes at JD_cashless. He's an independent journalist. And he's been covering, you guys remember, Irina Zarkutska? I can't really say her name. But she was the Ukrainian who was almost beheaded on, stabbed in the neck on the train. Well, now there's more stabbings on the train. And at the time that this is all happening, Charlotte is spending $3.4 million on a PR agency. And what I'm wondering, is this the same PR agency that charged Austin $1 million for their logo? their ugly looking logo, which you guys can bring up at any time. Paid $1 million for this logo that looks like ChatGPT, like not even ChatGPT, like the first iteration of ChatGPT made this logo. So that's what's going on. We're going to have PR companies coming out here trying to, brainwash people into thinking these trains are safe when, you know, these things make the news, but there's the logo right there. Ken, let me ask you this. How widespread, the violent incidents in Charlotte on these trains, in the trains and in the train stations, is it getting out of hand? Is it increasing? Is it decreasing? What is going on in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, thanks for having me. And I mean, when you have two horrific stabbings in the span of about 4 months, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the situation is out of hand, and, you know, hiring a PR agency isn't really, you know, the solution for this. So I've got a little bit of news outside of the PR agency. You know, the Trump administration has actually stepped in and charged both of these men, federally, even though, we had the murder of Irina Zarutska in August and an attempted murder of a local guy, by a Honduran illegal immigrant last Friday. There are state charges, but the Justice Department has also levied something called, committing an act of violence on a mass transit system, which is a federal case. And so I actually attended, DeCarlos Brown, the person who murdered Irina Zarutska. His first federal hearing was yesterday. There wasn't much to report from that hearing. The judge simply read the charges and, you know, sent him back to county jail. I guess I could tell you his demeanor. He was kind of confused looking, wasn't really paying attention. Even when she mentioned that the death penalty's on the table, he was kind of just looking around the courtroom. And to that end, you know, you mentioned the operative word insanity, and it looks like his lawyers have filed a motion signaling that they will pursue an insanity defense of sorts. They're saying he doesn't understand the case against him. He's not competent to proceed. And so that will be argued at a later date. But he does have a history of being diagnosed with schizophrenia. We've got body cam footage I sent you if you want to play of him telling police in January that he had, quote, man-made material in his body. And instead of, you know, they arrested him for misusing 911. And then 8 months later, we've got this national tragedy. So how the courts will handle this has remained to be seen, but it is like a tough issue to grapple with.
So he's able to dial 911, but he doesn't understand that you can't stab somebody on a train in the neck and kill them. Like, so that's kind of a disconnect there, but he's capable of picking up the phone and dialing 911 and then having conversations with officers about, you know, things in his body. That's an interesting defense there.
Yeah, fair enough. And to your point, he has a history of violence, and I've noted that I think he assaulted his sister. So that history is always him, you know, committing violence against somebody smaller and more vulnerable than he is. So obviously, you know, even if he is insane, he's criminally insane. He's not attacking 6'5", 300-pound men. It's always a young, vulnerable victim. So your point's well taken. I think, you know, some of the conspiracy theorists, though, have kind of, you know, they are wondering. He's talking about, you know, the government putting a chip in him and stuff like that. So, you know, it is worth noting.
And then you have this second stabbing going on by the Honduran illegal immigrant. Or is he an illegal, or is he a legal immigrant? It doesn't really say here in the article.
Oh, he's very much illegal. He came here illegally around, I think, 2010. He was charged with robbery in New Jersey in 2013. For some reason, he was allowed to stay in the country. He committed another assault with a deadly weapon in 2016 and was eventually deported in 2018. He again came into the country illegally and was deported in July of 2021. And then he came again, and he's been living as a homeless man in Charlotte. And then he winds up stabbing somebody who actually survived the attack last Friday. One thing I want to add there is that the victim, Kenyon Dobie, as you see in my headline, he says he was defending an old lady from this illegal immigrant, we've since come across information that would cause that into question. First of all, the federal charges against the illegal immigrant don't mention anything about him attacking an old lady. But second of all, the victim in this case has since been charged with assaulting his girlfriend back in October. Apparently there was a warrant out for his arrest, which wasn't executed until he wound up in hospital. And then the police went and picked him up. So, I mean, Charlotte is just a mess.
It certainly is. Yeah. You got the victim who's also, a perpetrator in another incident. You've got this guy who can't stay out of the country, and we can't seem to keep him out of the country. And then, in a case like this, if you get convicted, is he going to go to jail here in the United States if he hits these federal charges, or are they just going to deport him to El Salvador? Is that a possibility?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Trump administration has stepped in this case as well. So he was charged with attempted murder on the state level, but you know, there probably is a little bit of politics in play, but the Justice Department probably also feels like it has a legitimate interest to make sure that justice is done here, since Charlotte has such a track record of treating criminals with kind of kid gloves. So he was hit with the same charge as DeCarlos Brown, committing an act of violence on a mass transit system. That doesn't carry the death penalty because the victim in this case doesn't die. But I've got to imagine that they're going to hit him with these charges and then probably seek another deportation order and try to get him out here, out of the country once and for all.
And so looking at the Charlotte transit system, is it something where they're allowing people to ride for free as sort of like a shelter situation? Or, I mean, how does it seem to be a hotbed for this type of activity? Or do people get free passes? Is it high up or is it on the ground level? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's not really an older city. You know, Charlotte's fairly new in terms of, population growth. But they do have a mass transit system, this train light rail, I guess, as they call it here in Texas. But how are these situations able to happen like this?
I've been living in the area for close to 4 years now, and I kind of describe it as Austin, Texas of the East, in that, you know, it was a thriving, successful city that's kind of expanding. I guess that's the cost of its success. And it seems like the infrastructure here can't handle the population boom. And so the way you described it is kind of like a lawless system was how it had been running up until the Irina Zarutska incident in August. And after that, the city council postured that they were devoting more security and making sure nothing like that could ever happen again, which makes what happened last Friday all the more egregious. To your question, the illegal immigrant, Oscar Solorzano, he had been banned from this train. So it's actually unclear how he got back on in the first place, whether he jumped a turnstile. More questions exist. Why weren't there guards given what happened back in August? And of course, even after that happens last Friday, it's actually 3 days later that the city council approves this $3.4 million PR contract for this train system. I mean, you can't make this up. Apparently this had been on the docket for a while, even before the August stabbing. And so the city council's justification is that, hey, we need to advertise for the train system. This has nothing to do with the stabbings. It's just really bad timing. But the tone deafness of it all is just really outstanding. And, and you've also got two Republicans on the city council that have voted for this, as well. It was a unanimous decision. So, you know, I don't really know what's going on here. It seems obvious that they should be spending that money for more security rather than, you know, commercials and advertisements.
Yeah, that seems to be the obvious, answer there. Let's put some guards. Let's put more cameras. Let's put some phone, anything in there to help the regular citizens who are just trying to go about their day without getting, bludgeoned or stabbed. Looking at the illegal immigrant problem, there were stories out of North Carolina. I believe it might have been Raleigh, but it might have been Charlotte. But when ICE was in that area, they said 30% of the students weren't showing up for school. So no, it's actually Charlotte. So it's the same issues. I think, you know, Charlotte seems to be attracting a lot of illegal immigrants. So 30,000 Charlotte students absent from school. Oh no, that was in protest of the ICE operation. They said when they started coming around in there, like 30% of the students weren't showing up for school, which would make you think, wow, that's like, okay, so you could say 30% of the population's probably illegal. Would that be safe to say?
I wouldn't want to guess about that, but I could tell you that there is a huge illegal population here for sure. I think one of the reasons is that it's a huge transit. I mean, 77 passes through Charlotte, which goes straight from Miami all the way up to Cleveland. You've got 85 passing through here that goes all the way, I think, to DC. So there's it's a big trafficking problem, and the location is one of the reasons. And I'm glad you brought up the issue of school absences, because there were protests against ICE, in response to the recent operation here, which only netted 200 arrests. Obviously, they missed the train stabber. But that reminds me, a school also recently criminally investigated a student who painted a pro Charlie Kirk memorial on the Spirit Rock, which is like that giant rock in front of the high school. And so it's another sign of total derangement and misplaced priorities, where they think there's nothing political about protesting ICE removing illegal immigrants, but they're criminally investigating a student who, you know, just wanted to pay tribute to Charlie Kirk, and they investigated her for, you know, vandalism.
Seems to be a pro-crime mindset. Like, hey, you can do whatever you want. Just, don't put anything out positive for Charlie Kirk, who didn't hurt anybody, didn't do anything. He was just speaking his mind and trying to get people to vote. And he got shot in the neck. We've got some stories about that coming up later. Cause it seems to be a hot button issue of what's going on, of people asking questions and other people saying, hey, you're not allowed to ask questions. I mean, do you want to jump into that fray right now, or how are you feeling about the Charlie Kirk murder?
Well, I've done a couple stories on that. I'm the guy that revealed who Charlie Kirk's security team was, and the fact that they apparently undercut his previous firm, Schaefer Security Group. I guess they lowballed him for the contract.
I covered that story. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice. So I kind of tend to believe the official story insofar as that Tyler Robinson was involved. I still can't get past the point that his parents turned him in. I know a lot of people have questions about, you know, we don't have footage of him taking the shot. There's questions about how a .30-06 wouldn't make an exit wound. You know, these are legitimate questions. I also have concern about the lack of transparency going on with the court proceedings, where the defense and the prosecution are in agreement that they're pushing to ban cameras. You know, I just can't get past the fact that the parents turned the kid in.
Yeah, and there seems to be several stories that it was a pastor friend who maybe recognized him, but he also had some interesting connections. And he goes, you know, from what I've heard, and I don't know if any of this is true or not, because, you know, everything seems to be cloudy and hidden with, gag orders, but he talked to the parents, said, well, he needs to turn himself in. He's definitely guilty. And he might have been there. There seems to be footage of him around there. There seems to be footage of him. I don't know if that's him, the pictures they're showing, because, you know, once AI gets involved, I think it should be criminal that AI is used in any criminal cases. Here's AI footage. No, you can't put out AI footage and go, this is legitimate. And I think it should be a federal law that you're not allowed to introduce AI any type of AI evidence, photos or video as evidence. You just can't do it. We can't put that out and say, well, we have AI. AI said this happened. Cause AI could then make it, like, I've seen some of this AI. You could make it look like anything. And if you run it through a filter a few times, you can make anything look like a potato video. And then now we're all guilty.
They released the enhanced photo. So that, you know, the FBI has made some questionable moves here. Releasing an AI enhanced photo, of course, is pretty egregious. And then there's the fact that they claim that there's these inscriptions on the bullet casings. We haven't seen pictures of those, you know, saying, hey, fascist catch or OWO. One theory I have on that is the trans lover roommate, Lance Twiggs, somebody recently leaked a bunch of his notes. And I noticed that in his notebook, it does say OWO. And so I'm curious whether he was actually the one that wrote that on the bullet casings. And that could be one motive for them not wanting to release it to the public, because if Lance Twiggs wrote that, they're not going to be able to use him as a witness. In fact, he'd arguably be an accomplice.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't seen any other arrests. They're trying to keep this, seems like, to one person. That seems to be the government's, like, they love a lone wolf, because then it can't be, there's nowhere else to look. And, you know, there's talk about people putting this out on, you know, comments saying, hey, look out for September 10th. You know, Charlie's going to get it when he comes to Utah. All these different text messages that were out there. I don't remember the exact wordings of them, but people were alluding to something was going to happen when Charlie came to Utah. And this was his first visit for the season, I guess, the new fall college season. And there's one right there. Let's just say something big will happen tomorrow. I mean, are these people just walking around? Has the FBI even investigated? Have they questioned any of these people? How do you know information like this? You know, just a bunch of Karnaks running around. That's an old Johnny Carson reference.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, I guess Steelman, the prosecution's case for why they might do this, that's not totally nefarious. If they want to secure the death penalty, they probably need to solely pin it on Tyler Robinson and say he's the mastermind. That was actually the prosecutor's justification for not charging others in the Oklahoma City bombing, in which the government pretty much just said Timothy McVeigh was a lone wolf. He had minor assistance from Terry Nichols and Michael Fortier, but McVeigh was actually part of a wider neo-Nazi network, including bank robbers called the Aryan Republican Army, who helped funded his op. But if you read some of the books of the old, you know, what the prosecutors say, of course, there's conspiracy theories that there were FBI informants involved, and that's why they solely limited it to McVeigh. But their justification was that we really want to get the death penalty for McVeigh. And if it's revealed that he only drove the truck, or if he was a minor soldier, we wouldn't be able to do that, and it would be a big blow for us. And so I think that might be what's going on here with the Tyler Robinson case, although, of course, that's pure speculation. I think we should probably wait to see the evidence trotted out during his trial.
If we get to see the evidence, if they don't, close off all cameras and, you know, all you're going to see is reporters and courtroom sketches, that's what we saw in the Diddy trial. It seems to be any of these high profile trials that people are interested in watching, unless it's Alex Jones and we want to like put him against the wall and throw darts at him, you know, that'll be televised, or at least put on the internet. But, you know, these other trials, we're not going to see anything. Cause I think they saw what kind of circus it brought with when the OJ trial happened. I mean, people, it was fodder for years, with what went on in that trial and all the inconsistencies with, the prosecution and what they were doing and which eventually, you know, led him to get off. But, looking at this, Charlie Kirk assassination, I've got a video I'm going to play probably later. It's Rob O'Neill, who was claimed to be the guy who shot Osama bin Laden back in, I think, 2010 or 2011. I think it was 2011. He was one of the guys on that SEAL Team 6 raid in Pakistan, who went in and shot bin Laden. I personally don't think they even shot bin Laden. I think it was a lookalike, or it was an old man, and bin Laden was probably already, you know, had passed on, but who knows? We don't get real information from anywhere. You know, first they bury him at sea, then they don't. So I think we're going to see more of this. You know, we got the J6 pipe bomber. Now they've erased footage from the guy actually placing the bombs, guy or gal, placing these bombs. You know, that footage is magically erased. How does that happen in FBI custody? You got FBI with the footage, but then it gets erased. I mean, does that throw up a red flag for you?
Well, that's news to me. I know, didn't they like slow down the frame rate where it kind of, it's kind of stilted and it doesn't actually show him placing the devices allegedly. And of course, if it were just that footage, it would be okay. Well, it sure looks like he places the devices. We'll give the government the benefit of the doubt. But of course, the very next morning, you had the Secret Service actually sweeping the area by the DNC with bomb sniffing
dogs. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Somehow they missed the device. And then Kamala Harris drives within 15 feet of it and she never mentions it. So yeah, it does raise a lot of questions of, you know, was that guy a total, you know, red herring? Did he actually even place those devices or was that some sort of distraction?
Exactly. And then, you know, you have these people who who's Gad Saad was talking about how he became a Mossad agent. And he's like, well, they gave me a bag and told me to bring it to a bank, talk to some people and then try to leave without the bag to see what would happen. Well, and they go, did you look in the bag? He goes, no, I never looked in the bag. I mean, that's the kind of like, and he was 18 at the time. So you get somebody young and impressionable. Hey, we're going to, you know, we're doing an operation with you. Take this box and go leave it on the corner. And you don't know what's in the box. You don't look in the box and it could be a head. It could be a bomb. It could be anything. But here's a Loudermilk, and I'll play this clip later. It's about 5 minutes long and we're getting to the end of the hour here. But he says, as we go looking for the video on January 6th to see did anybody go back to these locations, that footage doesn't exist anymore. We have January 5th video, but we were told no one preserved January 6th. So I find that incredibly amazing that they go back and look for this footage and it's like, you know, we didn't save this footage during January 6th because we didn't think it was important. That to me stinks to high heaven.
Many such cases. There's a book that actually came out maybe 15 years ago called Tainted Evidence by a whistleblower named Dr. Frederick Whitehurst. He worked in the FBI crime lab in Quantico, and he went through a whole host of cases where evidence is either highly tainted or missing, you know, all the way from Ruby Ridge and Waco to through the OJ case even. We need a update for that book. I think we need a second edition because, of course, you mentioned, you know, the missing pipe bomb footage, but obviously we've also got the fact that the man who almost assassinated Donald Trump last July, they leave him on the roof until 6 a.m., scuttle him off, release his body for cremation, and then you've got the FBI hosing off the roof the very next day before anybody but the FBI could examine the scene. So there's a long history to this. Unfortunately, it seems like the FBI is back in favor with Republicans, at least the ones in power again. So I'm not very hopeful that we're going to see any actual reform.
Yeah, it seems to be there's a group underneath, you know, these FBI leaders who are feeding the director and the deputy director, whatever they want. Ken Silva, you can reach him at JD_cashless. Thank you for joining me. He's running headlineusa.com. That's where you can catch all of his work. Thank you for joining us, Ken.
Thanks again.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs,
potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
All right, here is that footage I was talking about earlier with Loudermilk and Benny Johnson talking about the deleted pipe bomb footage. Hey, it just deleted. Hey, we don't know. We don't know where
it's at. There's so many concurrent miracles that would have had to happen for these bombs to have been discovered at the same time, sitting in the middle of the sidewalk. You know, I mean, where does that lead you? I guess you don't know yet, but
that
implies a much broader conspiracy, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And that's the thing that we try to avoid, is just going down a conspiracy path, but taking a theory and trying to prove it wrong. But there's still so many questions regarding this, because one of the things that has raised our eyebrows is as we go and we look for video on January 6th, because we want early morning video on January 6th to see, did anybody go back to these locations?
Of course.
Unfortunately, that video apparently doesn't exist anymore. We do have the January 5th video, but we've been told that no one ever preserved January 6th. So that
totally
does
normal.
Raise our eyebrows a bit. But you're right. Both devices were placed either, you know, the person doing the pipe bomb wasn't very experienced. He was just trying to get them down and go, or they were left to be found. And so it is pretty amazing. And, you know, Mrs. Younger said she walked out her back door. It wasn't there earlier in the morning, but she saw it later, and it would, you know, give reason to believe that she would have noticed it if it was there in the morning. So that's one of the reasons we do want to talk to her.
Hey, you just blew my mind here. I'm sorry. If you don't mind staying just a few more minutes, you just told me that. So according to the FBI, according to the internals at the FBI, there are 39,000 different visual elements showing the hoodie guy, right? Mm-hmm. Pipe bomber. We call him the Steve Urkel bomber, showing this guy, because thick Coke bottle glasses, right? You know, dorky, spectrum-y kid from the suburbs. There's 39,000 videos showing his movements that night from different camera angles. Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, in particular, is the most surveilled area, arguably, in the world. There are so many cameras up there.
Yes.
And you're telling me that there's no footage from January 6th of the actual areas where you'd have to travel to place these pipe bombs.
Now, we do have cameras along some of these, any Capitol Police cameras that we have, that show some of the walking paths. Those do exist, but none of the camera angles, like behind the RNC, behind the DNC, that we know of that exist today, of where this person would have been, had the closest angles. And so that has inhibited our investigation into this theory of maybe they were placed back out again. And this is something new that we've just come across. So we're starting to scour through all the Capitol Police cameras, because there is a Capitol Police building over by the DNC. It's called the Fairchild Building, and they do have cameras there. And that's been some of the cameras that have given us most of the evidence. So our team is going back through, and it takes a while when you look at how many cameras there are and you're looking for hours of video, because we're talking about this device was put out at, you know, around 8 p.m. on the 5th. Now we've got to look from 8 p.m. all the way to 1 p.m. on the 6th to see, did anyone else go by there? Was there any other traffic, any, you know, suspicious activity going on there? So that takes a while. But again, these are theories that we're trying to, you know, go through step by step, box by box, and try to come up with what is a reasonable explanation as to how the Secret Service dog didn't hit on the one device, Mrs. Younger didn't see the other device. You know, it's just a logical
This is bombshell.
Possibly
that this could even happen in our country. We didn't preserve the January 6th footage. We don't know where that's at, of where the pipe bombs were found. With the 1 hour egg timers. So they were placed the night before with a 1 hour egg timer. And we're supposed to think they're supposed to blow up when, you know, Kamala Harris is walking by. I mean, out of this world. Wow, we got so much more. I've got Kirk Elliott talking, coming in the last hour. We're talking about the price of silver, $64.47, okay? And in volatile times, these things go up. So we'll talk a little bit about that in the next hour. We got so much more. You're watching The American Journal.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the second hour of The American Journal. I want to hit some headlines and then get into basically a smattering of videos that have come out from Somalia in the last few days, last couple days, really. And it's just ridiculous, including what I'm calling PSYOP season. You know, and I'll tell you why I feel it's a weird PSYOP. But what we've got now is elected officials colluding with other, you know, NGO type groups to create situations where they can make the ICE agents look bad. You know, they're going out there, they're yelling at them, they're cussing at them. That's National Guard too, asking about Posse Comitatus. But they've got groups, they've got media telling people where they're at. I mean, it's just insane, and they don't seem to be arresting a ton of people either. So this definitely stymied their efforts. But I talked about this earlier, but executive director of Black Lives Matter OKC charged with wire fraud and money laundering, Tashila Sherry Amore Dickerson, 52, of Oklahoma City, was charged with wire fraud and money laundering, announced U.S. Attorney Robert Troster. According to the indictment, in the beginning of 2016, Dickerson served as executive director and had access to Black Lives Matter OKC's bank PayPal and Cash App accounts. They're registered as a tax-exempt organization, and they raised more than $5.6 million from grants and national bail funds. So, of course, she used this, they're alleging, for recreational travel to Jamaica and the Dominican Republic for herself and associates. You know, you got to have team-building exercises. Tens of thousands of dollars in retail shopping. Got to look good. $50,000 in food and grocery deliveries for herself and her children. Let them eat steak, right? The days of steak and plenty. Personal vehicle registered in her name and six real properties in Oklahoma City. Deed in her own name or in the name of Equity International LLC, an entity she exclusively controlled. So we are finally starting to see a little bit of accountability coming to Black Lives Matter. This is out of InfoWars. Lebanese alien stopped by German police had 28 different identities. Police deport him once again. Look at that. He's found, he was traveling on a Belgian train and had different documents, 28 different aliases. Oh, nothing wrong with that. Illegal alien killed in struggle with Border Patrol during drug smuggling bust at the Rio Grande. USBP Special Operations Attachment confronted suspects moving drugs across Mexico, across the Rio Grande, and a struggle ensued. An agent discharged a firearm, striking one of the suspects who later died. We actually had footage that we shot exclusively. It was Joe Biggs and a camera guy were down at the Rio Grande, and you could actually see the heads of the guys swimming across the river. They then moved to a spot, a parking lot kind of across the street from a road, and they're watching, and these guys literally dump these, they're giant bales. I mean, boom, boom, and they throw them in a car and run back across the border. And even Trump talked about this footage. It was so amazing that these guys had caught. And our guys were actually freaked out afterwards doing that. So it happens all the time. And but now we're starting to see a little bit of accountability because the border has been effectively shut down. So now this types of operations are being seen rather than being able to hide amongst all the people coming across. EU and Canada begin making global digital ID systems by linking their tech, sort of like a Department of Homeland Security for EU and Canada. They're getting all their systems to talk to one another. Of course, they're going to do it, you know, under the guise of keeping everyone safe, but it's basically going to be used to censor and silence people. And if they speak out, well, you're not going to have a bank account. You're not going to be able to travel. That's what the digital ID is all about. Or we're going to just take your credits and make them worthless. We got Dr. Kirk Elliott coming on later today, but the great bull market in silver and gold has begun. Kirk's saying it's going to be a 10-year massive mega bull market. So we're going to talk about that later to see how you could get into that and not get left behind because, you know, cryptocurrencies can just go away if there's no electricity. But with silver and gold, you have solid, tangible assets that you can use. Utah judge rules cameras will be allowed in the Charlie Kirk assassination trial as suspect Tyler Robinson makes his first court appearance. This is good news, and this will fuel lots of YouTubers and TikTokers, plenty of fodder to make all kinds of videos about hand signals and whatnot. But I think this is good that we're going to have cameras in there because I might make some videos of my own. And there's a close-up of Tyler Robinson from yesterday. Interesting fellow. We're going to see what happens to him. And I don't think he acted alone. It's my personal opinion. Jake Tapper destroy Jasmine Crockett with her own words. We saw the report earlier from John Bowne talking about how she is basically a chameleon. You know, she's a girl from a rich school, just like we see most of these politicians who claim to have these, you know, poor me backgrounds. All of a sudden, oh, they went to private school. Oh, they lived in nice suburbs. Oh, they had everything paid for. But yes, they were struggling to make ends meet. The latest O'Keefe sting, which I don't have the video of, but I watched it yesterday. He got the Georgetown professor calls black conservative coons. I think he called Clarence Thomas the biggest coon of all or something like that. Candace Owens, another coon. I don't see, he calls them sellouts and coons, Justice Clarence Thomas. And then O'Keefe pulls off his glasses and goes, hey, have you heard of James O'Keefe? And, he's like, oh my God. And the guy runs and he actually falls while they're trying to, you know, chase him down to get a comment. Zelensky meets with European enablers, says more fighting must be done to attain peace. That's right. War is peace. Literally out of 1984. That's Zelensky. And so I think for the rest of the hour, I'm going to look at Somalia, Little Mogadishu up in Minneapolis. I want to start with, this is journalist Ben Berquam, who put together a interesting little compilation of him, you know, just out there shooting videos and being harassed by the local Somalis. And then it ends with an interview where he meets with a guy named John Fitzgerald, who's talking about, hey, I've got to move because these people, you know, are so out of control. And they have all this money and they have all this, which we're going to get to about where this money might be coming from, because there's a lot of, you know, billions of dollars now that they're finding in fraud. And they seem to be spending it on cars. We have a TSA agent whistleblower talking about suitcases of money going through the airport weekly. At least $1 billion is what she estimates. But we'll get to all that. But here's Ben Berquam. This is to kind of whet your appetite of what's going to be happening.
More whistles.
You need to leave. You're not welcome. Get the fuck out of here.
I thought everyone was welcome.
We are here. Where are you from? That's what happens when you let the third world in. Spitting at officers, blocking traffic.
Hey, shoot, man, bitch ass nigga.
Get him out of here. Make America great again. I'm John Fitzgerald, and I am a MAGA. Make America great again. Get him the hell out of here. They are the most unfriendly. We live right across the street from them. And there's been times where this whole cul-de-sac has been completely lined with Mercedes, BMWs.
This is how they talk. Second generation.
Come here! I'm right here, though!
Unbelievable. This is the problem. You got the second, third generation here. You invited them in, invite the illegals in, and then they have kids that hate this country, are taught to hate this country. And then you got neighbors living right across the street that have to deal with it.
There might be repercussions for me because, you know, but 15, 20, 25 know where I live. I ain't afraid.
Yeah.
Not backing down.
If you could say something to President Trump, to Tom Holland, what would you tell him?
President Trump, start with Ilhan Omar, get her out of here, and drag all of this business here, get them out of here. Yeah, we're Americans. Yeah.
So I noticed you've got a for sale sign out here. How much of that decision has to do with the illegals and the Somalis that are here in the neighborhood?
Oh, a lot. It's a major part of our reason why we want to get out of here. I'm wondering, it's been a little over a year now that we've been on the market. Can't sell, hasn't sold. I have to ask, why not? This is a beautiful neighborhood, except for that.
With your tax dollars.
Yeah,
with
my tax dollars and your tax dollars and anybody who's listening to this and who sees this, it's your money too. And it just, there it is.
What do you think of your governor and your mayor?
Oh, it's another reason why we're leaving. We just get us out of here. I mean, I hate to feel like I'm the one that needs to leave, but that's how I feel. I'm the one that needs to leave.
So there you have the citizen there, John Fitzgerald. Complaining. And, you know, I wonder, we saw the clip earlier where the white guy was saying we're on stolen land. Does anybody say that to the Somalis? Because they weren't born there. I mean, I guess that one guy was, but they didn't live there for thousands of years. They claim they were given this 3,000 years ago. Well, since he's talking about tax dollars, John Fitzgerald was talking about that. Let's go to clip 18. Former Border Patrol agent for 24 years talks about how the illegals are getting Social Security money, even though, if you ask a Democrat rep, nobody gets anything. Nobody gets any welfare. No illegals get welfare. But they get it, but they just say they don't. So here's what a 24-year Border Patrol agent has to say about that.
And here's another sick thing that you need to understand. I worked 24 years in the Border Patrol. I have Social Security. You're a working man. You're pouring into Social Security. You got truckers, 30 years, construction workers, nurses, stockbrokers, whatever. When I bring in my illegal alien grandma that's never, never worked a day in her life, you know that she gets the maximum Social Security benefit payout?
What?
She'll get more money than me. For our grandmas and grandpas that are living paycheck to paycheck, illegal alien grandma from Sudan and Mexico, wherever, she gets more money than the person.
How?
That's worked her whole life.
I mean, this is infuriating.
No, but that doesn't really happen because, you know, we have reps. Harrison played a clip yesterday of a guy calling into C-SPAN or some sort of call-in show, and he was bitching at her rep. She goes, oh, they don't get any funds from the government. No, they don't vote. We don't give them driver's license, even though there's like 20 states where you can get a driver's license. It's admitted. They're getting CDLs. They're closing down CDLs, thousands of them across the country of these CDL mills where they're giving people basically license to drive these giant 18-wheelers around, and they're crashing into people because they don't even know, they can't read the signs. They don't know the laws. Oh, there's one right there. Oh, but if you say that's bad, you're a racist. You see? And they know all about this. Here's, this is Representative Harry Niska from Minnesota talking about how Keith Ellison met with the Somali fraudsters and got offered campaign contributions that he accepted. So it's not just Tim Walz. You got Larry Ellison, who was, I think he was photographed holding the Antifa manual at one point in his life. So that's a, Keith Ellison, what did I say? I said Larry. Keith Ellison. There is a Larry Ellison, but that's for another time. Keith Ellison, Attorney General of Minnesota. There he is with the Antifa book, the Antifa Anti-Fascist Handbook for the group that doesn't exist, doesn't have a headquarters or anything, but there's their manual from Mark Bray. Okay, here is Harry Niska breaking it all down.
Recently released audio recordings reveal conversations that happened between the Attorney General and individuals who were later implicated and in some cases convicted in the Feeding Our Future scandal. In those recordings, the Attorney General...
Point of order, Master Speaker. State your point of order. Basins 124, paragraph 1, in debate, members must confine remarks to questions before the body and avoid personalities. The debate here is not any individual. It is the policy and the amendment. Representative Niska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Attorney General was asked in those recordings to use his authority to protect businesses under investigation for wrongdoing, and rather than distance himself or remain neutral to allow the legal process to unfold, he responded in those recordings, of course, I'm here to help.
Mr. Speaker, point of parliamentary inquiry.
State your point of parliamentary inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, there was a point of order, and I didn't hear a ruling or any resolution of the point of order. Was there a resolution to it?
I'll remind the body that there was no ruling made by the Speaker as to the point of order that was just stated. Representative Niska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Attorney General in those recordings even urged the individuals, let's go fight these people. He was offered campaign contributions during that meeting, contributions that he later accepted. The release of those audio recordings raises questions about what's going on in the Attorney General's office that go directly to the need to pass the legislation that we had previously debated, House File 20. Although he has insisted that nothing came of the meeting, his office
blocks
disclosure of closed investigative data.
State your point of order. Basins 124.
The A11 will help ensure that what happens behind closed doors in the Attorney General's office sees the light of day. We can protect people's privacy while shining a light on what the Attorney General's office is doing, who is influencing that office, whether it's those under criminal investigation, nonprofits, corporations, or billionaires with political agendas, because Minnesotans have a right to know when their Attorney General's office is working with them. Minnesotans have a right to know whether the Attorney General is telling the truth that nothing came of that meeting. That's why the A11 is so important.
And it's interesting how they kept trying to throw process into there as this guy was trying to get information out. But, you know, Keith Ellison met with these people and, well, you know, he may not have taken money on the front end, but who knows what happened on the back end. Speaking of money, let's go to clip 4. This is a TSA whistleblower talking about how she witnessed legions of Somali men getting on, going through the airport, going through TSA with suitcases of money. Something you or I couldn't do. Okay, by the way, if we were walking with a suitcase of money through the airport, we'd be brought into a back room and we wouldn't come out of that back room and the government would confiscate that money. But this is what happens to the Somali men. Here's that clip.
This sounds like something out of a spy movie. People going through security
and getting on planes with suitcases filled with millions of dollars in cash. Tell us what you've actually seen as a TSA agent during the time you worked there.
Well, I've actually seen a lot of things, but the most shocking is exactly that. I saw suitcases filled with millions of dollars of cash, and the couriers were always Somali men traveling in pairs, and they got through the checkpoint. It just really absolutely blew my mind the first time you open a suitcase and you see millions of dollars of cash. And typically what would happen is a LEO or a law enforcement officer would come, check their credentials. I don't know what kind of questions they asked them, but their IDs were always documented, and probably their plane tickets as well. So there is a trail of that out there. And I would believe with all the cameras at the airport that if they started there, they could probably find each and every individual that brought money through the checkpoint.
Obviously, this seems suspicious, if not alarming, given what seems to be a pattern here. So you're talking about millions of dollars flying out of Minneapolis, and you think it happened about every week or so? Is that right?
So it certainly seemed like it happened every week. The suitcases came in, and the MO was always two Somalian men traveling in pairs. Sometimes they both had suitcases. And so the process was, as a TSA agent, we would pull the bag, and then we'd bring them to a private screening room. And we would open the suitcase and make sure that that's all it was stacks of cash. And a LEO would come and maybe question them and for sure take a picture of their identification and I'm assuming their plane ticket. I'm not sure. So there is a trail out there between that. I mean, it has to be documented somewhere, and all the cameras in the airport, I would imagine if they'd like to find all this cash, they should start at the airport. Because in the 5 years I was there, I believe $1 billion went through the airport.
$1 billion. As if this isn't troubling enough, Liz, it's not just money you watched leave MSP. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. There was another instance, again, a Somali man that had a carry-on luggage filled with brand new passports. And he was allowed to get through the checkpoint. So where he went with those passports is anybody's guess.
I find it amazing that that is allowed to happen in this country, although it shouldn't be, because there's a two-tier justice system. You know, illegals can do whatever they want. They seem to, you know, get all the free stuff they want and don't really have to pay penalties for doing anything. And here we have an instance of a TSA agent. For the 5 years, she seemed to think of over $1 billion was going through. That's $1,000 million going through in cash along with passports. And she's only one person. Who knows how many other, maybe it's $5 billion, you know, because she's not working all the time. Totally, totally crazy. We're going to pick back up with these Somali videos. And I also have some breaking news. This is out of CNN. New photos released from Jeffrey Epstein's estate showing Trump, Bannon, Bill Clinton, and other high-profile people. So CNN has released it. There's the picture of the Trump condoms for $4.50, and they're huge. So I'm going to show you those photos. I've got printouts right here, and we'll be showing you to them as we go through them. Just on the other side, so stay tuned. The American Journal, I'm Rob Dew. You can follow me at Dews News, DewsNewz on X. That's primarily where I'm at. And you can watch us at band.video or Infowars.com/show. So spread those links. We'll be right back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone, to The American Journal. We've got some breaking Jeffrey Epstein news. This is out of CNN. New photos released from Epstein State showing Trump, Bannon, Bill Clinton, and other high-profile people. And I'm going to show you some of these pictures here in a second. But before we get to that, I do want to tell you we're in the midst of our 12 days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And right now it's 40% off. Site-wide, the shirt I'm wearing, 40% off right here. All right. You want to get that cool-looking InfoWars red shirt, the stacked logo? the iconic stack logo, 40% off. Do you want to get some supplements? 40% off. The Life Force, the Shilajit, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Ultimate Sea Moss. It's all there for 40% off. I actually took, I take the capsules of Ultramethylene Blue. I take one capsule every other day. And it has immensely helped with going to sleep and waking up and then clear thinking throughout the day for me. Of all the products I've ever taken, that has the most positive effect that I've ever felt. And, you know, there's a situation where I did, I did two droppers of the liquid and went and rode my bike, and I felt like it was like almost too much. It was the fastest ride I'd ever done, but my heart was also racing. So I stopped. I didn't take it for like a month, maybe 2 months. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll try a pill. I did a pill, and it was like, boom, immediately the clarity you get for me with taking methylene blue is amazing. The mental clarity. It's like it just takes away all the brain fog. There's no more brain fog. And, you know, you might say it's even a kind of a hangover cure. I've yet to have a hangover on it. I don't drink that much anymore, but every once in a while I'll tie one on. But is the methylene blue? No problems. Getting up the next day, it's like, yeah, let's roll. Let's go. So thealexjonesstore.com, 40% off site-wide, but you only have till Sunday to take advantage of that. So go to thealexjonesstore.com. It funds everything we're doing here. We don't have NGO money. We don't have tax-free foundations funding us. We have you out there liking the news, liking the analysis, liking the videos we put out, the just constant barrage of stuff. We put out 10 hours of live content a day, every day throughout the week. And then on the weekends, you usually get, well, definitely another 5 hours on Sunday. But then we get another, you know, you get another maybe two or three hours from Alex on Saturdays and then whatever else is dropping that day. So it supports everything we do. It supports the crew. We don't know what's going to happen here in January because they're supposed to have a real auction. So we'll see what happens there. But we could be coming to the end of the line here at the Central Texas Command Center. So we want to go out with a bang. Keep us in the fight. We're going to continue after this with the Alex Jones Network. And the money you put in at thealexjonesstore.com that you know, from buying the products, from spreading the word, from wearing the shirts, from sharing the articles, sharing the videos, all that pays it forward into the next iteration of this. So we appreciate your help. We need your help. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of the 40% off. Become a VIP member. You also get, it's $30 a month, but you get $40 to spend in the store, and you get other deals that aren't even available to just the regular consumer out there. So check it out now, thealexjonesstore.com, and get 40% off store-wide. Everything in there, 40% off. So go check it out. I think there might be the gummies, the creatine gummies, might not be 40% if you get one, but I think if you get like a three-pack, you can get it 40% off, or if you... I think if you get everything on subscription, you can get it up to 50% off on some of these items. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com. Creatine gummies, they're pretty cool too. They definitely have, creatine is something you notice pretty quick, especially if you're working out. You'll immediately feel that kind of rush, that burning fire sensation. Okay. Oh, I've just been handed additional. Oh my God. All right, I'm going to warn you before we go to these because it is of an adult nature. But let's just go through these. Here's the article out of CNN, new photos released from Epstein's estate showing, of course, Trump. They put Trump there in the beginning, Bannon, Bill Clinton, and other high profile people. And they start off, of course, with a picture of Trump right there with some women who have their faces blacked out. But they do note that all these women are of age, but there's a picture of Trump. Oh, we got to put Trump in there. And there's Trump again. It looks like in something. I can't tell exactly where he's at, but there's some weird reflections behind him with another unnamed woman. There's the Trump condoms for $4.50. I'm huge. Here is a picture of Bill Clinton with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and a couple people I don't fully recognize, although the guy on the left I kind of recognize, but I don't know his name offhand. Oh, look, here's Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein doing a selfie in the mirror. Interesting. And then here it looks like Jeffrey Epstein and Steve Bannon in sort of some sort of pitch meeting in Jeffrey Epstein's office. And there is an interview that Steve Bannon shot with Epstein in an effort to rehabilitate his image, but we haven't seen that yet, so that should be forthcoming. And here's Steve Bannon with Woody Allen. So Woody Allen seems to be in the middle. These are all photos from the Epstein estate. There's Woody Allen, who he married his adopted daughter, right? Is that what happened? Yeah, his adopted Asian daughter, Soon Lee, yeah. And here's Woody Allen and Epstein at a meeting, a table meeting, with another blacked-out face woman. Here's... It seems to be on a shoot, so I don't know if Woody Allen was involved in this interview or if this is another production, but here's Woody Allen and Jeffrey Epstein at a shoot, a film video shoot. Oh, and here's Larry Summers with Woody Allen. Probably this could be on the Lolita Express. I believe that's Larry Summers' wife. It was rumored they had their honeymoon at Epstein Island. You know, had to go pray at the temple. Here's Richard Branson, a guy that looks like Joe Pesci, but that's not Joe Pesci. And I believe that's Epstein in the background on some island somewhere, some tropical paradise. And there was recently a video of Richard Branson where he was like, oh, talking really bad about Trump. And here he is on Epstein Island. And then here's a picture of Bill Gates and Prince Andrew. All from the Epstein estate. I'm not sure who that is in the background, but these are all photos from the Epstein estate just released. Here's Bill Gates about to get on the plane, one of his many flights on the plane on the Lolita Express with, I guess that's the pilot or the co-pilot. But there's Bill taking off. He's wearing his gray sweater. You know, he goes from gray to pink. And then here's a picture of some more photos that are some of these. This is the one, some of these women that are blacked out. And I believe that's Bill Gates there in the corner. It looks like Bill Gates there on the left-hand side. On the plane, yeah. Nice big windows. Okay, now we're going to get to the adult stuff. So hide your children or cover their eyes. This looks like some sex toys, including which looks like a schlong pump. And some guides on tying people up, some ropes, some extreme restraints. I guess those are called anal beads. I don't know. I'm a bit of a novice when it comes to this. I don't even know what this is, but some sort of glove.
Well, Rob, I can you can imagine.
I can only imagine what you do with these things. You got the thumb, and you've got ribbed fingers. For hers or his pleasure.
Imagine the pleasure.
Yeah. Disgusting. And then the jawbreaker gag, terms and conditions and disclaimer of warranty, patent pending. Always observe a person who has the gag in their mouth. Never leave the person unattended. The jawbreaker gag will abuse a person's mouth to produce more saliva than a regular gag and create a choking hazard if the person is unattended or inverted for any reason. It is possible for a person to vomit and suffocate while standing, so extreme care and caution must be exercised to the use of this product. This is supposed to be for pleasure? Okay. Well, you could check those photos out. I'm sure we're going to have that on InfoWars very soon, along with other outlets are describing it. So, of course, they got to put Trump in. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Can I ask you a quick question? Which Epstein attendee donned the gag? Which one put the gag on? Who's the gimp?
I imagine that was probably used on some of these women who were masseuses, these underage girls. I imagine one of them probably.
You don't think Bill Gates maybe?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think Bill's in. I think Bill's into having people gagged. I don't think Bill's a gagger. Now, Bill might be a glover. He might be a glovee or a glover. I can see him putting on the black glove.
And then gloving himself maybe?
Gloving himself, gloving others. Who knows?
Self-love.
You know, when you get rich, you know, that's where it goes. It goes into things like that. So you can check all that out. Wow. I'm glad I already ate. Okay, let's get back to the Somalis. We covered the millions of dollars going through the airport. Joey Manarino has a couple videos. But let's go, before we get to that, let's go to the Ilhan Omar videos. Let's go to clip seven, Ilhan Omar payoffs to husband. So, you know, when you remember she married her brother. Well, this is a different guy. She married her brother to get into the country or get him in the country. Somehow it looks like there's some immigration fraud that we're looking at. But, now her husband, he gets all these multi-million dollar contracts. And he also just gets, you know, payoffs for other things, for web design and stuff like this. But look at the numbers here. Like, the amounts are amazing. So this is clip seven coming out of Fox News.
While federal records reveal Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's husband got more than $600,000 in coronavirus relief money for his political consulting firm, on top of the millions that his company received from her election campaign. This is the E Street Group, receiving in total $634,900 in funds, PPP, $134,000 of that, disaster loans, $500,000. Why?
The big knock against the whole PPP program was that 1% of the recipients got 25% of the money, and often they were very well connected, very rich people or organizations.
We almost have to repeat that. Hit pause for a second. 1% of the people getting PPP money. This is just goes back to some of the COVID, chicanery going on. 1% of the people applying got 25% of the money. And the billions that just went out the door, and they were throwing it out quick to get aid to people. But it seemed to be only the well-connected, those in Congress and their friends. Hey, put this code as you fill out your application. It'll put it to the top of the line. Tell me when you put in your application. I'll make sure it gets reviewed really quickly. This is what they do with your tax money. Just remember that when you vote for these tax increases, when you vote for these bonds. These people have too much money. They have so much money, they literally give it away to their criminal friends. Let's continue.
People or organizations, and there's no doubt that's true. There was a sort of sense of urgency, though, to get the money out, hoping that if there were flaws, at least it would help the most the ones who were in the most dire need of the cash.
That firm was also paid more than $2 million since the start of the year, Charles. From Omar's campaign for digital advertising, yeah. Fundraising, consulting, website production. She announced last month, I should mention, in November, that her campaign was terminating its contract with that firm because of all the scrutiny that she was receiving over those payments.
Yeah, but no money's going to be returned. I mean, listen, services were delivered, but this is something people were talking about, this cozy relationship, long before November. She had a chance to take care of it then. She did not. It was too much money, millions of dollars. It was too much to ignore. They took it. They'll take a little bit of scrutiny. It won't be a lot. The media will not focus on it. It will go away.
That's right. The media doesn't focus on any of this stuff going on in Mogadishu, little Mogadishu up there. Less than, I think, a minute on each of the networks, talking about Tim Walz and all the corruption going through his state, you know, because they think if they don't talk about it, it doesn't happen. So here's another video on how much Representative Omar's wealth skyrocketed between 2024 and 2025. I'm amazed personally how much it has been. You might be amazed too. Here it is.
Developing now, despite arguing she is not worth millions, a new financial disclosure found Representative Ilhan Omar's net worth could be as much as $30 million. The vast majority of the money coming from her husband's two companies. The National News Desk, Jeff Harris joining us. There's been interest growing around this disclosure because earlier this year she slammed claims of being a secret millionaire. What more can you share, Jeff?
So the 2025 disclosure, first reported by the Washington Free Beacon, shows that the Minnesota congresswoman and her husband have a net worth between $6 and $30 million, a roughly 3,500% increase compared to 2023. The Free Beacon reporting the couple's financial gains came from her husband's two businesses, a winery in California and a venture capital firm headquartered in Washington, D.C. Those assets were valued between $5 and $25 million by the end of 2024. In 2023, that number was reportedly less than 1,000. But Omar, a founding squad member, slammed online speculation back in February, claiming she was a secret millionaire. Omar saying, quote, "Since getting elected, there has been a coordinated right-wing disinformation campaign claiming all sorts of wild things, including the ridiculous claim I am worth millions of dollars, which is categorically false."
Hold on, let's put a pause right there. Let me read it in her voice. Bring that back up, and I'll read it in her voice because she's an up-talker.
Just
pause it if you can so I can read that quote. "Since getting elected, there's been a coordinated right-wing disinformation campaign claiming all sorts of wild things, including ridiculous claim that I am worth millions of dollars, which is categorically false." I mean, the up-talking thing is really retarded, but let's continue.
Omar went on to say she is a working mom with student loan debt, trying to raise a family while also maintaining homes in Minneapolis and in Washington, D.C., the disclosure reflecting those debts. As of tonight, Omar has not publicly commented on this new disclosure, her most recent appearance coming on Sunday when she called for getting rid of assault weapons on CNN's State of the Union following the deadly shooting at Annunciation Catholic School.
That's right. Don't look at my finances. Let's just take away your guns, people. How about that? All right. I want to start this and I'll finish it up in the first five of the next hour, but we're going to get into PSYOP season because what's going on in Minneapolis, we've got ICE agents in there arresting people, and we've got this 20-year-old man named Mobashir. And there's an incident that happened in the last few days, and this is what strikes me as being weird. They filmed this press conference. It seems to be in a dark cavern because you can't see any. They're not in a building. They're not in front of something. I know there's two flags on the side, but they're literally in a dark cavern, which immediately aroused my suspicions. Like, what is this all about? And he goes through this story about how he just walked outside and all of a sudden some guy tackled him. But we see no video of that. We see video of him in an embrace with some of these ICE agents, some inside and some outside photos, but we don't see anything that happens before. Notice how that video will never be found. I looked for it, but we couldn't find that. But here's the first 5 minutes of this is the press conference of the young 20-year-old. And I'm not saying he's making this up. There's video that all this happened. But what happened before all the events that we see on camera? What happened then? And then why is it in this dark cavern? Here's the video.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mobashir, and I never expected to be standing in front of all these cameras and microphones.
There's one microphone.
To me, cannot state why. What happened to me was unjust, uncalled for. I was simply on my lunch break. I literally went downstairs from my building. I wasn't even outside for mere seconds before I seen a masked person running at me full speed. He tackled me, pushed me inside the restaurant, like as you can see in the video. I told him I'm a U.S. citizen. What is going on? He didn't seem to care. He dragged me outside through the snow while I was handcuffed, restrained, helpless, and he pushed me to the ground, and he put me in a chokehold. And that was very uncalled for. I thought I got really hurt. And after that, they put me inside the vehicle. And they asked me, we have to verify if you're a U.S. citizen, because I believe you're an illegal citizen because you ran from me. But as you can see in the videos that will be released, I'm simply just standing still. I asked them, okay. They said, let me take a picture of you to scan your face to see if you're a U.S. citizen. I declined because how will a picture prove I'm a U.S. citizen? I told them I have my passport. It's in my phone. Can I open and show you? He declined. I told him, can I give you my name and my date of birth? He declined. So he took me on the other side of Cedar, and they kept me there for 45 minutes. Just asking, we have to scan your face, we have to scan your face. After about a whole hour, they said, okay, we can do your fingerprints on our phones. And the fingerprints were not working. So I guess they wait on 20 more minutes.
All right, and he goes on. He's brought to this place, and then he's let out, and he doesn't know where he's at. You know, that's what happens when you get arrested. You get taken to a place where you don't maybe know exactly where you're at. I actually got arrested in 2009, and when they took me to a place, I was there for 10 hours handcuffed. And then what did they do after I was processed? They let me right out there, out the front door, said, see you later. They didn't call a cab. They didn't arrange transportation. That's not what they do. So welcome to America. But I just find it amazing that it's, you know, this almost looks like a movie set. In fact, go back to that footage, because that's the one of the pieces of footage they show from inside the building where he's tussling with the ICE officers. And then it cuts, go to clip 10, where you could see him outside. Now that all of a sudden they're outside in the snow. So it went from inside to outside, but there's nothing in between. There's nothing before. That's why I think this is a psyop. That's why I'm looking at this. This looks like a staged event where this guy was provoking the ICE agents, acting, you know, suspicious. And they're like, well, they'll come after you because you are Somalian. You look Somalian. He was born here. I'm not disputing that. But when these ICE agents are walking around or whatever and you act suspicious, like start running, and we don't know what happened because there's no video of that. We don't see any video right outside the restaurant. We see that video inside. And then there's all these people with cameras right there. In fact, go back and let's just play it how it starts, because, and we'll just listen to the audio. Is this just, it's just weird. It just seems, to me, it seems staged, but here it is. So we're supposed to believe that this guy was on a break and he walked outside at his, at the restaurant he was working at. All of a sudden an ICE agent tackles him and then they're going to arrest him. And then all of a sudden this group of people with cameras suddenly appears. They're all right there. And then we got the press conference lined up that they filmed in the Mines of Moria. Totally dark with nice lights, one microphone. And he's like, I'm in front of all these microphones. Maybe there's, you know, shotgun mics and stuff in front of him. It just seems a little too perfect. It just seems a little too perfect. And then we have the chief of police get up and the mayor get up and talk about how this guy's been treated. In fact, we got that. Let's go to clip 11. We'll just end with that. And this is the psyop going on of ICE are bad. And if they go after, if they make one mistake or if you run from them and they come after you, oh, you're suddenly a victim. If you have nothing to hide, why did you run? Or why would they come after you? Here it is. Here's clip 11.
I was even outside for mere seconds before I seen a masked person running at me full speed. He tackled me. I told him I'm a U.S. citizen. He didn't seem to care. He dragged me outside through the snow while I was handcuffed, restrained, helpless. And he pushed me to the ground. And he put me in a chokehold. And he said, we're going to take you into Bishop Henry all the way in Bloomington. I did my fingerprints. And they finally let me go. They said, no, you have to walk in the snow. Eventually, my parents came and picked me up.
Our residents deserve better from the federal government.
Random efforts in which individuals who are being stopped because they appear to be Latino or because they appear to be Somali is wrong.
What happened to me was unjust.
That guy doesn't appear to be Somali. He looks Somali, 100%.
Changes on how these operations are being carried out.
All right, we'll be right back with...
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Welcome back to the start of the third hour of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Due. Thank you for joining me. You can follow me on X at Due's News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. I'm mainly on there spreading Christmas cheer by calling people stupid and retard. Or dimtard, I guess I should say. Let's be politically correct. It's dimtards. Got this short five-minute segment. These are a couple of clips from Joey Manarino, and I did censor all these. I censored all the clips today, guys. I did all your jobs for you. Look at that. They're clapping. The mute button didn't have to get hit too much. But here, we'll just play these back to back. This is Joey Manarino going out into Little Mogadishu, just kind of showing you what it's like. And you know, this is people we've welcomed into our country, and this is what happens when you welcome people into your country with open arms. Here it is.
Our square blocks where you cannot function without a translator.
This is Little Mogadishu, Minneapolis.
Being Somali out here for me is like survival, man, every day.
How large is the Somali community here in Minneapolis?
Oh, too much.
Yeah. They just came here and took over, bro.
Do most people have a job and work here?
No.
No?
Nope.
Oh. Speaking Somali?
Yeah. I think that's just how they talk.
Some of them don't speak English?
Don't speak English at all. Yesterday I tried to ask one of them a question and she didn't speak English.
I've got on Duolingo trying to learn a little bit of Somali. People have told me, like, why would you feel like you need to learn another language when you're in America? And it's like, because there's a lot of people who speak a lot of languages in America.
You don't think there are any problems with not being able to read, like, traffic directions?
I do not agree with the simulation. Let them have their own language.
You know, this isn't a thing about race. It's a thing about assimilation, and you have to actually assimilate so you can actually become an American and be a part of our culture. Legal immigration, fine. Let's have more of it. Let's just do it properly, and we can actually have a flourishing American culture going forward.
No, Somali only. I guess why even learn English if you can just read the signs in Somali? If you don't force the people who move here to learn English, they never will or will never have the need to learn English. And my point proved itself immediately.
Could I interview you? Okay, sorry. Okay, this will be fascinating. Do you speak English? Do you speak English?
Somali.
Hi, do you speak any English?
French.
French? Bonjour. Somali?
French.
Okay. Can I interview you, in French?
Hey. Hey, what are you doing, guys?
Doing news report. Huh?
No.
What do you mean no? It's America, no? This je vous interviewer in Francois?
Si.
Maku ware san kara af Somali? Okay. Thank you. This is a unique place. My name's Tyler.
Yes, you're
We're trying to talk to members of Somali community.
Yeah.
Because the Trump thing, temporary protected status over. I wanted to talk to people that live here. Would you be open to giving any thoughts for a little news piece we're doing?
Okay, good.
Good?
Yes, good, it's good.
Okay, okay, see you. Nice people. But keep in mind, it says it's not safe right there. It's not safe. Whisper on the wall, Dark Souls style. Well, we're trying to talk to members of the Somali community. And, no? Okay. Okay.
And then I headed towards the Riverside Plaza apartment complex, known for its large Somali population, to see if I could find anyone here that spoke English.
Speak English?
No, sir. I speak French.
Bonjour. Can I interview in French?
I'm sorry.
In Francois? Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, once you start speaking French, they don't speak French.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I don't speak English, I speak French. And then you try to speak to them in French, and it's like, haha, I was just joking. Get away from me. We're here to take as much resources as we can and send it back to Somalia in suitcases of cash. That's what's going on up in Minneapolis. Hopefully we get to the bottom of it, but, you know, so far, well, we did get, it looks like a Black Lives Matter from Oklahoma City. The director there has been arraigned by the FBI. So something's happening finally. We're getting some progress into the criminality, into the looting of our country. There it is right there. Coming up next, I got Dr. Kirk Elliott. We're going to talk about the price of silver, which is just blowing up, and what you could do to get in on the action. So stay tuned. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dude. Thanks for watching.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Third hour, third and final hour of The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Don't forget, 40% off store-wide at thealexjonesstore.com. You can get this shirt, many others, hoodies, hats, knives, and some amazing supplements, including these creatine gummies, which I just tried. I actually tried one of each of the, there's the blue raspberry and the sour apple. I did one of each to see what that was like. But right now we have Dr. Kirk Elliott on the line. He is joining us via Skype to talk about the price of silver and how it's just kind of, you know, it's up, it seems like $5 in the last week, almost $6. And Kirk made a prediction. I think he said 65 to 100 or 75 to 100. What was your prediction for the end of the year? And we're not there yet. So it could still happen.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Rob. It's great to be with you. And, my prediction for, I don't know, last 6 months or so has been 67 to 75 by the end of the year. But probably by the end of the spring, early summer, we should see 120 to 140.
So that's a doubling. And so from where we're at now, that's a doubling.
I mean, literally for as great as it's been, you know, so three and a half, four years ago, silver was like $18 an ounce. Right. And it's like, okay, wow, it's gone from 18 to 63 today. That's been a lot, but it took almost 4 years to get there. Best asset class in the world, right? Now, moving forward, I think we're going to see a doubling, if not more, over the next 6 to 8 months. I mean, this to me is absolutely incredible, but there's a reason why, right? So when you look at silver, it's used for like literally everything that we use practically in this world right now. All electronics, electric vehicles, battery technology, solar power, missiles and torpedoes, right? AI chips, cryptocurrency mining. That all uses silver. So when you see gold go up, why does gold go up? Gold goes up because people start losing confidence in the system. Right. They don't trust their banks anymore. They think the banks are undercapitalized. They don't trust their governments. They don't trust a word that they say, because as a political barometer, that's what gold responds to. And it does very well during times of inflation and lowering interest rate cycles, which is what we've seen. Silver acts the same way, Rob, except silver has this next level of demand, which it's actually used for manufacturing. Gold is not. Gold is a financial metal. Silver is both a financial metal and manufacturing metal. I don't see any decrease in demand for silver in the near, medium, or long-term future. I just don't.
Especially with all these data centers being put up, you know, each one of these takes, you know, each one has probably thousands of server racks in it with, and then you got all these servers, and then each one of those has microchips in it. You can just see, and that's only just in one, maybe one area where they're putting them in these states. And with this AI revolution that's going on in China and the US, you could look at some of these. I mean, just gigantic facilities. And each one of these has a little bit of silver in it. Each one of these.
Every single one of them, right? And so when you look at this, this is where it becomes really interesting, Rob, because about 3 weeks ago, the Secretary of Interior added silver and copper to the critical minerals list, which means it's now a matter of national security, right? So that means we're going to have to start stockpiling it. We can't rely on imports of silver from China and other places when it's now on the critical minerals list, and it's a matter of national security, right? So that just tells us part of the reason and the rationale why the demand for silver is so extensive. But over Thanksgiving, we had something that I haven't seen since one event that I've never seen ever. I've been in this industry since 2002. One thing that happened on the day after Thanksgiving that we haven't seen since 2001. Both of these are very, very important to the price movement of silver. So on Thanksgiving, like a lot of us, I'm just sitting there at the in-laws' house, overeating turkey, wanted to just take a nap and watch football. It's like, okay, that's all I was doing. But in the behind the scenes, I didn't realize until the next morning that, holy cow, COMEX, the CME group, halted trading at COMEX, right? For silver and copper. It's like, what? Halted trading. The markets weren't really even open. Banks weren't open. It was a holiday, right? Now, there's still international, like China doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, obviously, right? But so there was international trading, but they blamed it on a cooling tower. It's like a cooling tower. The servers weren't overheated because of all the activity. It was a holiday, right? So the cooling tower issue, some kind of a deflection of reality. What was really happening, right? Because, you know, if we're smart business people and we happen to run an exchange, we're going to have a redundant system. You know, at InfoWars, you have a redundant system. If the server goes down, you're going to redeflect it to another server, right?
It's just, yeah, we have backups. Right.
Yeah, you have backups, right? So especially if you're the largest exchange, a COMEX exchange in North America. So let's just say, yeah, the cooling tower went down. Well, takes 2 minutes, put it to the next one, right? There's going to be a redundant system. They didn't do that. They shut down for 10 hours. Why? Because silver really started to make a move. There's stories on the internet, which haven't been completely substantiated, that there's a massive request for physical delivery by the end of December. It's not there. London is already out. You know, Alex and I have talked about this a bajillion times. London is out of silver. And in the gold and silver markets, all roads lead to London. Doesn't matter what country you're buying from. It settles in London, distributes to the rest of the world. London is out of silver, right? They've completely mismanaged everything. Right. Because of greed, because they've got over 300 paper ounces of silver in the futures market for every 1 ounce of physical deliverable silver. So if Sony or Samsung or LG start saying, hey, we want physical delivery of silver, we're going to end our futures contract where we locked in futures prices. We want delivery of it because we need it for manufacturing. It's like,
it's like fractional reserve banking, but with the silver market.
It is. And yeah. It's so dumb. It's no wonder it doesn't take too much when it's a 350-to-1 ratio of paper ounces of silver for deliverable. So somebody's taking a massive order for physical delivery. This would cause banks to go into default. Drew, they would cause banks to go into default. So rather than going into default, they shut down the system. This is my theory, right? Because it doesn't make sense any other way. It was a non-market trading day. Things don't overheat. Servers don't overheat when they're not being used, right? So rather than going into default, they halt trading. So the next morning, here comes Friday. I wake up, you know, after Thanksgiving. It's like, holy cow. Silver went from 54 to 58 overnight, like literally overnight, because now the world sees that the emperor has no clothes, right? And it's like, wow, it's not just London that might be out of silver. COMEX might be out of silver. They had to halt trading. I mean, this is wild, wacky, weird things happening. So then the weekend goes on. Monday, silver goes down a dollar. This is the Monday after Thanksgiving, so probably some profit taking. Since the Monday after Thanksgiving until now, silver's gone from 57 to 63, right? We are now up about 117% year to date. Gold's up over 60%. Why is this? To me, as an economist, it's purely supply and demand. When you have low supply and high demand, I don't care what it's in. Could be in bicycles or groceries or gold or silver, or oil or gas or housing or whatever. When you have low supply and high demand, the prices go up. We are seeing astronomical price movements. And to me, this is more than just, the exchange doesn't have supply. This is the debasement trade of a generation, meaning people globally have lost confidence in the banking system. They've lost confidence in their governments. And that Financial Times article that you have on the screen, I read that this morning, and they're saying the same thing that Alex and I have been talking about on the show for a couple months. It's like, did they listen to the show? I doubt Financial Times listened to the show, right? But they're saying the same thing. This is a debasement trade. This is a function of the world is changing as we know it. From fiat-based money creation to where even central banks are allocating into gold by the hundreds and thousands of tons. Why? What's coming? I think it's the changing of the guard. It's a changing in the system as we know it. And when people lose confidence in anything, in relationships and anything, that relationship heads south, right? When they lose confidence in their financial advisor, they change to another financial advisor. When they lose confidence in anything, when people lose confidence in the government, what happens? It's a big deal. This is when you start to get revolution type stuff. This is what we're seeing socially. We're seeing politically. We're seeing economically as this central banking system, as we know it, the whole world is based on debt, is moving. The pendulum is shifting into a different era of cryptocurrency that now has stable coins attached to them, tokens that have real world assets attached to them. We're moving into a digital world where fiat based money is going to be a thing of the past. What is going to be the new future? You know, I think probably cryptocurrency with tangible backing like gold or silver, or tangible backing with currencies like a stable coin, or tangible backing of a security attached to a token. See, we're moving into a digital world, and some people hate that. Some people hate that we're moving into a digital world because they don't trust it. Well, the move into decentralized blockchain, like call it Bitcoin, Solana, Ethereum, XRP, whatever, or precious metals, physical precious metals like gold and silver, have the same fundamental force that's driving its growth. And that is, we want out of the system. We don't trust the banks. We want something that's private, and we want something that's going to grow.
And let me stop you there. The difference between physical gold and silver and then, you know, cryptos is, you know, cryptos can be, you know, you can get hacked. You can get these things stolen. But if you're having the physical gold and silver either on hand or in an account somewhere, you have to physically remove it. It has to have a physical turn to get that out. So it's a little, to me, it seems a little safer. I've been buying silver since it was $5 an ounce back in the early 2000s. So, those, to me, it's like, wow, those are the good old days. I remember bags of silver quarters and stuff like that. But if, so right now people are looking at their assets in, that are tied up in like 401ks or, IRAs, individual retirement accounts. How would they take something like that and then turn that into silver? I mean, what is the process of that? How long does it take? Can people take advantage of that going into this, these uncertain times? Can they get out of, you know, the traditional markets and get into silver that way?
For sure. So the first step is if you have cash in a brokerage account, you know, or in the bank, it would just be a cash purchase, right? You wire the funds, we send you the gold or silver. Or you can set up a depository account if you don't want it at home. Some people don't want it at home. They've called Kirk. You have no idea the neighborhood I live in. I just saw your segment. It's like, we live in Minneapolis.
I've run out of books to put it in.
Right. There's nowhere for it. I need to have it stored. Right. So that's easy. Right. Now, if you have an IRA, there's just one extra step. We do a tax-free rollover from your existing IRA custodian to one that will allow for physical holdings of gold or silver bars or coins, right? So I'm not talking about paper or certificates or anything like that. Physical gold and silver coins and bars stored in your IRA. It's a tax-free rollover, but now you're getting out of the system to a large extent. You're going into something that has real demand. That the trend is the largest trend of this generation, and you can allocate into it. Now, let's say you have a 401k. If it's an old 401k, yeah, it just rolls into an IRA, piece of cake. If you're currently working for a company and you have a 401k, if you're under 59 and a half, sorry, can't do anything. It's not technically your retirement account. It's the company's and you're a participant in it. But if you're over 59 and a half, still working at the company, you could take that, roll it into an IRA, take the balance to zero if you wanted to. You just can't stop your 401k contributions because you're still working for the company. So there's so many options that we can do for people. But word to the wise, your existing advisor might say, oh, you know what? I can do gold or silver for you. We'll just do an ETF. Really, you really want to do the silver ETF that's...
Which is just a piece of paper, right? It's just a piece of paper. It's a ledger.
Yeah. And if you look deep into the prospectus, the number of ounces that they have on hand don't necessarily match the amount of dollars that have been contributed. Why is there a difference? I think there's derivatives exposure in there. It's not the same. Let's just say you had a silver ETF and you thought, oh, moving dollar for dollar with the silver market. This is amazing, right? And it's 2010 and your broker was Lehman Brothers. Like, uh-oh. Those ETFs are held in like street name. Lehman Brothers goes down. Anything over and above the insured limit vaporizes. It's gone. We said, wait, I thought I had physical silver backing up this ETF. It's like, yes, but it's gone. You only have FDIC or SIPC insurance up to the limit. Anything over that, it goes bye-bye. So this is where owning the actual physical is so much safer than having any kind of a paper proxy to the underlying asset.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty, very interesting in the way, because there's people, you know, for a long time I've had this, you know, outlook of the stock market as, well, it's always going to keep going up. It's always, but you know, with Lehman Brothers in 2008 banking crisis, I mean, we had banks literally just go under. And if you had assets over what was 250,000, you know, well, sorry, you're out of luck. That's it, you know, and we saw people, you know, lives get ruined, people getting kicked out of their houses. We've sort of recovered from that, but now it seems like we're sort of getting back into the same thing where they're loosening some of the standards to get into homes again. And now we're getting into that point where people are going, geez, the value of my home's going down. It's more than what it's now worth less than what I paid for it. And I'm paying this mortgage, you know, so. Really, it does make a lot of sense to get into gold and silver. And so people, what, call the number, go to the website? What's the fastest way to like transfer your assets over?
Two different ways. You can just go to simply the link for InfoWars, kepm.com/gold. So it's kepm.com/gold, and just say, hey, saw you and Kirk talking, like we want to do something here. And so, or you can call our phone number, 720-605-3900, and just say, saw Kirk on InfoWars, and we'll take care of you. My team will get you scheduled. We'll answer all of your questions. Hear your dreams. Hear your goals. Hear your fears, right? And say, okay, you don't have to be afraid in this world. There's the opportunity to be had. You know, when we're talking about this stuff, it's not a fear-based message. The world is ugly. I'm not saying that it's not, right? And it's weird and it's getting worse and there's all kinds of weird chaos and mayhem everywhere. But that brings so much opportunity if you know where to look. And there's hope in that message of, yeah, you can't change some of the garbage that's happening around you, except you can change your finances just by allocating properly. That's what we're here to help you do.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, I've always been a physical holder of silver. I've got it in different spots. But, yeah, it does make sense to even with that diversify and have some in your vault's in Texas, right? It's here in the state of Texas?
Yeah, it's just not too far from where you are now. It's down in Shiner, Texas. The Texas Precious Metals Depository is who we use. And, you know, not all depositories are created equal. Some of them have joint ownership on the account. You need one that has singular ownership. You have to have full insurance coverage. The one that we use in Texas, I love it. A, because it's in Texas. Texas has very favorable legislation towards precious metals. You know, there's been pending legislation for a long time for Texas to have its own central bank that's backed by gold, right? So you have to get through Texas legislature if there's any kind, and the Texas National Guard,
mm-hmm.
if there's any kind of a government power grab, confiscatory action, right? I'm talking eminent domain, blood in the streets kind of activity, right? So I'd rather have it in a conservative state like that than LA, yeah. for crying out loud, right? So the location matters. The logistics of the contract matter. It's singular ownership, not joint ownership. I mean, a lot of reasons why when we were vetting different depositories, why we picked them, because client safety comes first. It's paramount to everything. That's why we do what we do. Right? Yeah, you could be in the right asset, but if it's not stored safely, what good is it? If it's not liquid on the back end, what good is it? Right? And so there's a lot of dealers out there that are selling high-grade collectible, commemorative, weird stuff, bunch of garbage that you overpay for that they're selling out of their own inventory. Here's what's
you
want
to pay
to
spot. Spot's the way to go. I mean, nobody's collecting baseball cards, you know?
Bullion. When some of these companies are selling out of their own inventory and at the end of the market, everybody wants to liquidate and lock in their profits, they're going to say, uh-oh, crud. We have more people wanting to sell than people that are buying. We're going to have to suspend and we're not buying stuff back. This is what's going to happen, right? It's what happens when companies sell out of their own inventory or else they're forced to sell those high priced commemorative pieces of junk that you bought. They're going to have to sell them back to the exchange or the depository. They're going to melt them down to make them into a bar because nobody's going to want them. Hey, you might as well just go into bullion now rather than overpay what you're not going to recover from. This is why always it's like, I can count on one hand the types of gold or silver that you should own. 1,000-ounce bar of silver, 100-ounce bar, 10-ounce bar, 1-ounce generic refinery round. Okay, that's silver. On gold, a 1-ounce gold bar or a kilo bar. These are all bullion items. If it's not one of those, I wouldn't look into them, right? Yeah. Because you're going to overpay.
I totally agree. That's definitely the way to go. Go to KEPM.com if you're out there thinking about, well, maybe, if nothing else, you go talk to somebody, 720-605-3900. Talk to somebody about what your concerns are, and you've got several people there to answer the phone and answer people's questions, alleviate their fears, and then, you know, help them create a path to wealth because, you know, I covered the article earlier today from InfoWars. You're looking at a 10-year run right now. Is that what you're thinking?
A 10-year run. Yeah, absolutely, Rob. It's, you know, the last time we saw a signal happen, which was the thing that happened on Friday after Thanksgiving, the price of silver blew through the broader based stock market index, the S&P 500. Last time that happened was in 2001. What happened in 2002? Silver went from 450 to 48 in 10 years. I think we're at the beginning of a 10-year run, Rob.
Go to KEPM.com. Thank you for joining me, Kirk Elliott. Appreciate you.
You bet.
All right.
Mr. Drew. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. We'll be right back after this for the final segment of The American Journal. Thank you for joining us.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. When I asked Grok about the benefits of creatine, this is what Grok said at the end. Bottom line, creatine is one of the few supplements that consistently lives up to the hype for strength, power, muscle growth, brain function. If you lift weights or do any explosive sport, it's basically a no-brainer. But speaking of no-brainer, when you really study creatine, it's what it does for the brain and everything else in the body. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Now, you can front load with 20 milligrams for a week or so is what the experts and doctors and people recommend and fitness people. But after that, you just take one a day. And most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is it's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. And our incredible creatine gummies come in two flavors, sour apple and blue raspberry. Our sponsor, Big Leap, went through dozens and dozens of different formulations with top formulators, and this is hands down absolutely delicious. Now, these taste so good, you're going to have to hide them from your children. But if gummies aren't the thing for you, we've got the amazing pure powder. It's all available again right now at thealexshowstore.com for up to 40% off. Again, this is creatine monohydrate. Look it up. It's the gold standard. And it is so good for your body. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors! Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays! Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Final final segment of the American Journal. Coming up next is the Alex Jones Show from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and then the War Room from 3 to 6. That will conclude our broadcast day. Don't forget, you can still get 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com until Sunday. I think 99.9% of the items in there are 40% off. This week only, that's shirts, that's hats, that's hoodies, the supplements. I think the only thing that's not 40% off are the creatine gummies, but you can get them if you buy, I think, three or more, you get them for 40% off. And if you subscribe to it, almost everything's 50% off if you subscribe to the supplements. So check all that out at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to go to this clip. This is Bobby Charles, who's running for governor in Maine, talking about, and this isn't Somali corruption anymore. Now this is just general Democrat corruption of 4,500 contracts for a total of $2.1 billion just given to friends of Democrats. And that's how the money laundering grift works. They raise your taxes, they take your money, and they give it to their criminal friends. Here's Bobby Charles with more.
How about the fact that you have an audit that shows $2.1 billion in questionable contracts? Steve Robinson, God bless him, digs a little deeper. You look at some of the deep contracts, you find there are more than 4,500 contracts that were non-compete, sole source, given to friends and family of Democrats. Does that look like public corruption?
Yeah.
How about the fact that I ran 5 years of investigations for Gingrich? I ran the Waco investigation, 100 witnesses. I ran all kinds of investigations. I did criminal referrals. Do you think, with 4,500 potential felonies, do you think there was one criminal referral?
No.
That is normalized public corruption.
Normalized public corruption. That's what's going on. And here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've heard of this, but Netflix is really making some moves. They've created a physical place you could go and experience the Netflix family of movies like Stranger Things and Squid Games and stuff like that. And it's called Netflix House. And when you enter Netflix House, you don't know this, but you give up your right to certain things. And we got a breakdown of it from a not yet lawyer, but she's a law student. She breaks it down a little bit. Now I'm going to show you the terms and conditions that kind of back up what she's saying in this video. Here it is, clip 22.
Okay, this like new Netflix House gaming studio thing is fucking insane, and like they're literally gonna steal your identity. Just hear me out. Allegedly, and also I'm not a lawyer. Giving myself some credibility, I studied criminal justice, sociology, psychology. I got my master's in domestic homeland security, and I went to law school. I failed the bar 3 times. I'm not a good test taker. However, I know a few things about social media and data and all these things kind of combining. Somebody posted this on TikTok, and essentially it says that when you enter Netflix House, you give Netflix the right to use your name, your likeness, and your voice in any use worldwide forever without compensation, right? And immediately I was like, there's just no fucking way that that's real, right? Because like that's so scary. It's real and it's worse than I thought it was. So I took my ass over to netflixhouse.com/terms, and there was all this hoopla. And I don't like what they're doing. Basically, when you go in and you read all the terms, when you walk in there, you're giving them everything. You're giving them your face, your movements, your identity, how you talk, how you walk. You're giving them everything. And you're giving them the right to AI generate you. And you're giving them the right to use all that in their content without compensating you whatsoever. Oh, and if you bring your child in there, you're also saying that it's okay for you for them to take your child's data, which is scary.
All right, let's look at this now, because this is pretty wild, making claims like that. So you can actually go to, here's the Netflix House terms and conditions right here. Let's see, it's netflix.com/legal/Netflix House terms. So you can see it right there. You go to number 8. All right, this is name, image, and likeness. So, when you visit Netflix House, we may photograph, record, depict, or otherwise capture the name, image, voice, or likeness of you, or in the case of parents and guardians, of any minor as you engage in the experiences and or content offered within Netflix House. And, you basically grant them irrevocable, perpetual, worldwide, non-exclusive right to photograph, record, depict, or portray you and your child and use and grant others the right, but not the obligation. Including by way of example, for security or analytical purposes, your child's participation in any of the experiences offered in Netflix House. So just be aware when you go into these places, they can take whatever they want in terms of video, voice print, whatever they have in there, and then use it on future Netflix productions. Say they need a crowd. Because she talks about AI in there. I didn't see anything specifically using the term AI in this terms and conditions. But if they're allowed to do all these other things, then you could just take that and use it in any way. Well, that would mean AI. So they need a crowd scene. They need a bit part. They need a weird looking person and you happen to be weird and going in there. They could take you, turn you into an AI visage and use you in productions without any compensation. So just keep that in mind. Speaking of compensation, when you buy a car, say you like to use the navigation system, the sound system, the heated seats, the heated steering wheel. Well, those things are soon going to become subscription only. This is a new trend. I think it started with either Mercedes or BMW, but now it's gone to Toyota. And, you know, Toyota used to seem like, you know, it was sort of an upper end. It was like a high quality middle class car company. Because they made really good cars that ran forever. And now, if you buy the Toyota Camry, after a year, you basically have to pay them $600 to use features that you got when you bought the car. Here's a YouTuber breaking it down about he just got this Toyota Camry, and now he's seeing some of the subscriptions that go away after a certain amount of time unless you pay them up to $600 a year. Here's the clip. It's clip 23.
Toyota is charging us $600 a year to keep all of our functions on our 2025 Camry after we've owned it for a year. Let's go ahead and dive into what it is. Well, everything's a subscription nowadays, so it shouldn't be too surprising that cars are now wanting a subscription as well. And after a year, Toyota expires some of the vehicle functions. So what are those functions? Well, probably the biggest thing that expires after a year is remote start via the Toyota app. So you used to be able to, from anywhere, open the app and remote start your vehicle to get it cooled down. That's no longer a thing after a year. You also lose the digital key functionality, so you have to take your keys everywhere with you. You can no longer use your watch or your phone. Another big thing that expired is our navigation. Despite us buying the high-end XSE trim level with the big screen, when we tab to the navigation menu, guess what? It's now expired, and if I hit get started, all it wants to do is sell me this subscription. So how much is the subscription? Well, $15 a month is the entry-level price. If you want the app functionality with things like navigation, which I feel like we already paid for. Now, if you want additional things like Apple Music to be able to function inside the car natively, that's $25 a month. And then if you want Wi-Fi on top of that, that's an additional $25 a month. So yes, you can spend $50 a month on this Camry in subscriptions, $600 a year. Now, of course, we're not doing that. I don't think it's worth that, but do you think it's worth it? Comment your thoughts down below. And if you want to learn all about the Camry, we have a ton of videos, so be sure to follow us down below.
All right, so there you go. Toyota faces backlash over alleged subscription fees for basic car features in 2025 models. Yeah, that's why people are going. There's a trend of people going back and getting cars from the 90s because it doesn't have as many computer parts that go bad. It's very mechanical. You could fix it yourself. And there is a definite trend of people eschewing these. And I think you're going to see a big backlash from this because people, are, you know, they're getting nickel and dimed to death and they're sick of it. Now, let's go to Colorado. This is Attorney General Phil Wisner. Basically saying he's, even though Donald Trump has given a pardon to Tina Peters, he's saying it's worthless. She's here on state charges, even though it was a federal election she was saving data from. They're keeping her under the state auspices. And basically Trump's going to have to do this. He's going to have to send U.S. Marshals there to break her out as a witness and put her in the witness protection program. That's the only way he's going to get her out of there. So I hope he's listening. Maybe somebody could get a message to him. You got to send the marshals in to get Tina Peters or else we're never going to have free elections because she has all the data that we need. Here is Phil Wisner basically thumbing his nose at the president.
AG Wisner, one final question for you here. Practically speaking, what happens if representatives of Tina Peters and or the president show up at the state prison in Pueblo tonight or tomorrow and say Tina Peters is coming with us? Will she be released by the state of Colorado while this plays out?
No, there's no legal authority for any federal government action to take a prisoner who's in state custody, lawfully having been tried, convicted, and sentenced. This is an important principle of our Constitution. And everyone who says they care about the rule of law, about public safety and our Constitution needs to care about this issue. Ben Franklin said when he left the Constitutional Convention, we have a republic as long as we can keep it. This is one of those moments.
Attorney General Phil Weiser, thank you very much for your time.
I love how they're falling back on the love of the Constitution, which also means, I think, having free and fair elections. I mean, it's not specifically written that way in the Constitution. You know, it actually gives the states the rights to run their own elections. But hey, if anybody can vote, then why don't we just open it up to the world and let the world come in and vote? Like, let's put them online and let Uganda vote in our elections. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing anyway by giving licenses and sending out just endless mail-in voting ballots to people in some of these states. And not asking for voter ID in certain states. So, you know, at some point you have to have some rule of law in your elections, or you don't have elections and you don't have a country. Here's another, some news from Trump. He signed an executive order basically banning gain of function here in the United States. This is big. I don't know if people really realize how big this is going to be, but right now, if you look at how COVID, started, in 2014, they were doing gain-of-function research in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, under Ralph Baric. That got moved to Wuhan. Then we were funding it through the NIH, sending money to the EcoHealth Alliance, who was sending stuff to the Wuhan lab and the bat lady, Xi Jing Li. Now all that's going to end under this executive order. Maybe the nymphal nerds over in Congress can get this codified under law, because Trump is at least doing his part. There doesn't seem to be much going in the way of Congress or the Senate. But here it is. Here's Trump signing the executive order to protect us from gain of function.
The first relates to gain of function research. Gain of function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function. Many people believe that gain-of-function research was one of the key causes of the COVID pandemic that struck us in the last decade. What this executive order does, first of all, it provides powerful new tools to enforce the ban on federal funding for gain-of-function research abroad. It also strengthens other oversight mechanisms related to that issue and creates an overarching strategy to ensure that biomedical research in general is being conducted safely and in a way that ultimately protects human health more.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done earlier. Thank you.
There you go. That was actually signed in May 5th of 2025, improving the safety and security of biological research. And now let's look at the COVID mRNA injections and how they cause sudden death years after the injection, because these little scars build up in your heart because these lipid nanoparticles and spike proteins are going through, basically destroying your organs because, you know, that's part of the deal here. You know, you're a lab rat until you decide to stand up and say no. So this is a interesting computer animation of what happens once you inject your body with spike proteins and lipid nanoparticles.
First, the mRNA is injected within lipid nanoparticles in your arm. It travels to every organ system, including the heart. And there's two papers, one by Bollmeier and colleagues, one by Crossan and colleagues. Crossan found mRNA directly in the heart of deceased mRNA recipients. So we know it reaches the heart. Bollmeier found the spike protein directly in the heart in biopsies of patients with vaccine-induced myocarditis. So we know the vaccine mRNA and lipid nanoparticles get into the heart, translate into spike proteins, so your cardiomyocytes begin to produce a toxic non-human protein. And your own body attacks the heart, resulting in inflammation and cardiac scarring, including microscars, which are undetectable with imaging. You can only detect it with a microscope, which is very disturbing. And so once you have this scarring, You're going to have cardiac electrical abnormalities, electrical conduction abnormalities, and your heart's not going to beat properly. And then when you go exercise, we found there's two triggers, either during exercise or sports when there's exertion, or during the morning waking hours of sleep. In these two periods of time, there's a surge in catecholamines, including dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. And so during these times, when you have this cardiac damage, when you have this scarring, that's the trigger usually that leads to this vaccine-induced cardiac arrest. And that's why we saw a lot of sudden deaths among athletes back in 2021.
Just so you know what's going on when your friend drops dead of a heart attack and he was so healthy. And it's still happening in case you don't know that. All right. I'm going to go to this last clip because I told you guys I would go to it. This is a young man named Karsten Van Osdonk, and he's, you know, this is a sustainable energy conference and they're basically green energy people, but he's talking about suppressed energy systems. And he talks about three different people. One's Nikola Tesla, the second Stanley Meyer. And I forget the third one right offhand, but the Stanley Meyer, made the car that ran on water and it would get like, I think 50 miles to the gallon or 100 miles to the gallon. I mean, it was something insane. And then he goes to meet with some people at a dinner and he comes in and he goes, oh, they poisoned me, and drops dead. So let's go to that clip now. That'll be the end of the show. And coming up next is going to be Alex Jones. But this, just look at this and go, wow, what could be if we really just unleashed human potential? What could we really have out there? So just think about that while you're watching this. And here we go. Thanks for watching. I'm your host, Rob Dew.
Why is the energy transition happening so slowly? And in this research, I found out that many inventors over the last century actually have come up with ideas which can outperform most of the technologies we have today. And I'll give some examples of that right now. You may all know this man. This man is called Nikola Tesla. And in my opinion, he's one of the brightest minds in the history of science. And he has worked on technologies which not only harvest electricity from the vacuum of space, but also to transmit it wirelessly across the globe for everybody to use freely. And just to quote him here, electric power is everywhere in unlimited quantities and can power the world's machinery without the need for coal, oil, or gas. Isn't that amazing? Well, unfortunately, his primary investor, called J.P. Morgan, he eventually found out that he could not profit from Tesla's ideas. So he simply cut his funding at one point, and Tesla died a rather poor man and without the respect he actually deserved. Now, this is just a list of people who have worked on similar technologies if you're interested and want to do your own research, and I'm just going to name two more examples of this list. Next is up is that of Stanley Meyer. You may all know of the possibility to run your car on hydrogen gas. You got the combustible mixture of oxygen and hydrogen. You burn it, it leaves you with excess power to run your car, and the byproduct of just tap water, H2O. Well, Stanley Meyer actually found out a way to use tap water as a fuel source by hitting the water molecule at its resonant frequency and thereby very effectively splitting the water in hydrogen and oxygen. And with this, he built a dune buggy with which he could drive from the east to the west coast of the United States on just one full tank of water. At one point, unfortunately, he went out to dinner with his investors. Yes, again, investors. And after sipping his cranberry juice, he grabbed his throat. He bolted out the door of the restaurant. He dropped to his knees and cursed that he had been poisoned. And this sounds like something straight from a movie, right? But it's actually real, and you can look up the details yourself. I'll just give one more example, that of an actual working device currently in Switzerland. And to all you electrical engineers, this may resemble an electrostatic Wimshurst machine. Sounds complicated, but this one actually converts the ambient field energy, or radiant energy as Tesla would call it, into usable electricity. And the reason why Mr. Bauman has chosen not to disclose this technology is that he thinks humanity is simply not ready for it yet. And we may soon see why. So this leaves us with a very big question. What happened? Why are we not driving in water-fueled cars? Why are we not receiving electricity from the atmosphere or the vacuum of space freely? Peter Lindemann is an authority on the radiant energy Tesla was talking about, and he proposed four forces, actually. And the first being the banking system. And I know what some of you may think. Oh, here comes that guy with that Illuminati conspiracy theory. No, we're going to leave that behind. So in a free market economy, everybody is free to earn as much money as they like, but only in the form of the dollar or the euro or whatever currency you have. So you're never going to be paid in gold anymore, for example. So if I would have a system which I can, with which I can raise my own capital with without borrowing it from a bank, the control of this banking system is lost. So naturally, they do everything to stop this. You can even see this in current day technologies like photovoltaics and wind turbines. They're already being regulated more and more because of their devaluating capacity. It's even on the cover of The Economist. It's not a big secret or conspiracy. And that brings me to the second force, national governments. Because governments found out that the true policy that actually works is called an eye for an eye. So it's constantly jockeying for influence in world affairs, and it's survival of the fittest, basically. So imagine when one nation or one party in another nation achieves the ability to generate their own power. The balance of power literally shifts from the government to that other nation or party within that nation. And everybody will want this technology, and at the same time, everybody will want to prevent the other from getting it. So to prevent this chaos, governments do something smart. They issue a restriction on any patent or invention that can give an opponent an advantage over the government in power generation. It's called invention secrecy, and it's still going strong, as the Federal Agency of American Scientists says. The third group is actually comprised of the deluded inventors, or fraudsters, if you will, which actually are only in it for the money. So the problem is most of these devices don't work. YouTube is full of them. And actually the first two forces use the worst cases of these people to promote the idea that every technology concerning this free energy is a hoax, is a scam. So nobody believes in it anymore. And then there's the people who actually have built a device that works, but they're still in it for the money. And then Shell comes to their doorstep and says, hey, here's a couple of $1 million. Go live a happy life, but don't speak about your technology again. So what is a couple of $1 million to a $20 trillion industry anyway? I'm really wondering if somebody from the audience can guess what the fourth force is. What is the fourth force that's preventing this tech from happening? Anybody has an idea?
Consumers.
Exactly. It's all the rest of us. It's you and me. Because you see, the incentives and the motives, the first three forces, they seem so selfish and so narrow. But in reality, we share those same motives. These forces are literally just different aspects of the same problem. It's a human one. It's the greed, and it's the fear of competition, and it's that want for power. So in the end, I believe that this revolution, it has to happen within our lifetimes. And either it goes horribly wrong, and we destroy ourselves in the process, or we as a people choose the green transition. And we can nowadays, because we have the internet to form a critical mass and spread the information, as opposed to, let's say, 20 years ago. So that's why I challenge you all to do your own research into this subject, if you are interested, and spread the word. Because it is up to us to develop this technology that is already there. And the first three forces are not going to help us with this.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa. Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm Coco and a Mighty Brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchess lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shot. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.